welcome to the American Journal. We're all excited that you're very much here today joining us, of course. A lot happening around the world, a lot happening around the country. I just heard back from DHS on a story we're going to bring you in just a little bit. It's in regards to a new biometric service that they're using to detect whether or not individuals are encountering are illegal aliens or not. Well, DHS just responded to my request for comment, and we'll bring that to you during the show today. But a lot of things are happening. Arctic Frost, more developments coming out, and it's quite interesting to sit back and watch, because I don't know if you're aware, but the government's been spying on people. They've been doing this for quite some time under the Obama-Biden regime, and not many people wanted to come forward and advocate for those regular Americans who found themselves being spied on. But now that U.S. senators and big political talking heads are getting all around this and getting involved, they were all targets, they're finding out. They want accountability. Isn't that interesting? You see, when J6ers were being spied on, when whistleblowers were being spied on, nobody wanted to help them. I'm going to go into detail with all of that because there's a lot to discuss there. We also have two incredible guests joining us later in the show today. A lot to talk about. You might have missed the really good financial news that happened. The Fed reducing rates. President Trump will talk about this at length too. Working out several deals with the CCP, which is good, folks, because again, China's been taking advantage of us for quite some time. So we need to discuss that. We also need to discuss the quarter percentage, like I said. The quarter point that just happened right now over the Fed. But most importantly, too, we're going to be discussing with an attorney in just a little bit as well during the show, what's going on with Arctic Frost. Because again, we're learning more and more and more, especially those certain cell phone providers that didn't push back. Talk about you, Verizon. When allegedly these senators were being targeted. Apparently, according to Senator Chuck Grassley, AT&T fought hard when one senator was about to get his phone lines tapped. They were able to fight off the subpoena. But it looks like Verizon didn't do just that. That's the allegations they're making. We're going to play that recording for you as well, because Senator Chuck Grassley is literally the only one doing the digging into all of this. And so we've got that for you, too. We've also got to talk about China, because President Trump is heading back to the United States right now. He's up on Air Force One, heading back to the region after having an incredible meeting in Asia. So a lot happening there that we'll discuss, of course. There's also a really questionable FBI report out right now. And the report itself says that it pretty much says that there's might have been a shutdown on the Charlie Kirk investigation when it came to the foreign element to all of this. Now, the FBI is denying this report, but it's quite detailed. Also, the Gates Foundation is under probe right now. The investigation launched into the foundation for allegedly funneling tens of millions of dollars in grants to those that have ties to the CCP. So again, it's raising serious questions. And then also, President Trump put out a tweet yesterday about Bill Gates. And I'm going to get that for you. We're going to read that because there's a lot going on right there. And I can't tell. I mean, I could tell. I know it's not Bill Gates being authentic. But Bill Gates is admitting he's wrong. But is he only doing that to preserve himself within the White House right now? He's doing his very best to fight for a seat at the table. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So a lot happening all around the country today. We're excited that you're joining us. Got a lot to dig into early in the morning, about 3 hours of the show. And I don't even know if 3 hours is enough to talk about all of this, but we'll make it work. We'll also be taking your calls as well. So, folks, a lot happening here on the American Journal this morning. We're excited that you're going to be jumping on with us and joining us. So do not go anywhere. There's more to discuss in just a little bit.
Methylene red is the ultimate complement to methylene blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel methylene blue, you feel this. So
look at this.
Here's your normal methylene blue, right? Look at methylene red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got methylene blue and you got methylene red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Thursday, everyone. Good morning. Good to be here. There's a lot being exposed this beautiful Thursday morning. I'm so excited that you're jumping on with us. I mean, I've been trying to sift through the 1,700 pages that were dropped last night in regards to Arctic Frost. We'll be discussing what we've now learned. Obviously, senators all across the country are fired up because they claim that they were targets in all of this. Ain't that something? They only get fired up on the issue when it affects them. And that's what's going on right now. So we'll discuss that in a little bit. President Trump is now making his way back to the United States. He's had an incredible trip over in Asia, cutting a lot of important deals. Hunter Gaylor is going to be joining us later in the show to discuss some of those deals. But I wanted to give you a breakdown, some overview as to what the president was doing during his time in Asia. It's quite the interesting list of accomplishments. So let's kick it off. So President Trump is making his way, like I said, back to the U.S. right now. He jumped on Air Force One just a few hours ago. It's going to take him quite some time to get back here to the States. He'll probably land sometime this afternoon. And ultimately, the two, both President Trump and the CCP leader Xi Jinping, met yesterday. And it was quite the interesting meetup. Take a look and a listen at clip one, because you can always tell a lot by President Trump's handshakes with foreign leaders. So take a look at this.
Mr. President, the President of the People's Republic of China.
Good to meet you. Great pleasure to see you again.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
Me too.
And we're going to have a very successful meeting, I have no doubt. But he's a very tough negotiator. That's not good. We know each other well.
President Trump making it known that he's about to drop some big news to Xi Jinping. This isn't the Biden regime. Things have changed and you will no longer take advantage of Americans and American companies. And President Trump doing just that. He listed some of his accomplishments after yesterday's meeting. He dropped this Truth Social post saying, I'm extremely honored by the fact that the president authorized China to begin purchasing massive amounts of soybeans and other farm products. He also goes on to say that China is also going to continue its flow of rare earth minerals and critical minerals as well, magnets. And it's going to be an open and free market now. China has strongly stated that it will work its diligence as well to prevent the flow of fentanyl into our country. They will help us end the fentanyl crisis. Now, I'm sure that's not going to happen, although it sounds great. China's been doing this intentionally for many years now. And I'm pretty sure that was a commitment that they made to the president under the first term. But he also goes on to say that China also agreed that it will begin to process and purchase American energy. A very large-scale transaction may take place concerning the purchase of oil and gas in the great state of Alaska, that coming from the president earlier this morning. So we're still learning a lot about the president's meeting with the CCP leader. But folks, at least it's a start. At least it's a start. Speaking of starts, President Trump not shying away from potentially meeting up with the North Korean dictator. Take a listen to clip two and how the president addressed that question.
What did he say? North Korea has launched missiles this morning. What's your reaction to that?
The missiles, the North Korean missiles.
don't know. He's been launching missiles for decades, right? It's another missile that was launched. I always had a very good relationship with him. So, you know, at some point I'll be meeting. The schedule is very tight, as you know, but at some point I look forward to meeting him again. But we had a very good relationship. I mean, more than a relationship. We had a really good understanding of each other. We met, we spoke to each other numerous times, and we had a good relationship. At some point we'll be involved with North Korea.
Does that mean there's no meeting with Kim Jong-un this trip?
I don't know. People are trying. I think they'd like to, and I'd like to, but I also want to focus on China. Our focus is now on tomorrow with China, and I want to make that the focus. But we'll come back and we'll, at some point in the not-too-distant future, meet with North Korea.
Not-too-distant future. Well, that's good news, folks. President Trump not shying away from meeting with world leaders that we may not get along with, but he's not going to start a war. Instead, he's going to open up the avenues of communication, and that's good. That's good. Folks, I also want to announce, too, I don't know if you saw this Truth Social post. It wasn't just China he was cutting deals with yesterday as well. He also finalized one in South Korea. South Korea has agreed to pay the U.S. $350 billion for a lowering of the tariff charge against them by the United States. Additionally, they have agreed to buy our oil and gas in vast quantities. Now, again, folks, this is exactly what you and I wanted. He is making sure to hold these people accountable. I don't even think this ever even happened under whoever was running the Biden White House. I mean, there was never an opportunity for him to be able to conduct a business meeting because he wasn't a serious person. He was obviously rapidly declining. And so it's refreshing to see that the president is kicking it up a notch now and making up for lost time. We appreciate just that. I also want to shift gears a little bit. So yesterday you may have seen this, and this was big news. Senator Chuck Grassley's office is the only office doing some work when it comes to exposing the Biden regime's corruption. In fact, yesterday had a very, very big announcement. And just to remind you guys, Chuck Grassley is like way over 80 at this point. And he's the hardest working member in the U.S. Senate right now. He's not just there for a cool soundbite on Fox News. He's actually working. His office is working, and that is something we could appreciate. He's 92. I didn't even know he was 92. I was thinking he's 85.
And just to speak to his work ethic.
Yeah.
When I was on the campaign trail in 2016 and we were going through Iowa, I was first introduced to the phrase, the full Grassley, which meant that you would go around and you would, knock on doors in every single district throughout Iowa. And he does that every single year that he's up for reelection. He will go around to every single district within Iowa, to go make appearances and hear from his constituents.
You know, they don't make Matt politicians like that anymore. He at least understands that he has to earn their vote, earn their support. And I could really appreciate that. And he also stands with whistleblowers, too. I mean, there were so many politicians who abandoned our whistleblowers, FBI whistleblowers specifically. And at least he continues to do his work. So that's really exciting to hear. One of the very, very few, of course. But Senator Chuck Grassley, the only one really digging into the FBI's corruption under Joe Biden. He held a press conference yesterday, pretty much just announcing that the Jack Smith Arctic Frost investigation was just about fishing to see who he could target within the Republican Party, but not only the party itself, but groups. I mean, literally groups is what they were going after for. Groups that weren't even around on January 6th. I mean, this had nothing to do with J6. We know this. America First Legal was also targeted. I'll detail that for you. And they weren't even around back then, but they were run by Stephen Miller. So that's all you need to know there. This is kind of giving me like Tea Party vibes under the Obama years. Truthfully, they were able to get away with that. And so now they elevated a little bit. Now they're sitting here and they're whipping around 197 subpoenas. That's how many they've caught so far. And according to Chuck Grassley, the subpoenas requested required records and communications related to over 430 individuals and organizations. And again, those that were targeted were Republican groups, conservative icon Charlie Kirk as well. Obviously, Turning Point, we talked about that last week. And it's just insane to hear. It's insane to hear. We're going to play clip 3 for you because it's Chuck Grassley outlining so far what he's found. And we'll let him give you some brief overview, but there's a lot more here to dig into. So take a listen to clip 3.
whistleblower disclosures. 197 subpoenas were issued by Jack Smith and his team. These subpoenas were issued to 34 individuals and 163 businesses, including financial institutions. And one of the points of contact on many of these subpoenas was that person I previously named Special Agent Walter Giardino. The subpoena requested records and communications related to over 430 individual and organizations. All of them appear to be aimed at Republicans. A subpoena to Event Strategies requested records relating to Turning Point USA and the Republican Attorney General's Association. One subpoena to Apple sought records relating to Trump and the January 6th prison choir.
What the heck do they want from the prison choir? As if they weren't sitting here taking L's, sitting in a mold-infested prison, a jail in D.C. Interesting enough, it wasn't just that, too. It was also groups like America First Legal, America First Policy Institute. Even MyPillow is on the list. I don't even understand how MyPillow is on the list. Unless, of course, you're trying to bankrupt Mike Lindell, which they are actively trying to do. And you don't like the fact that he's holding these events, which challenge election fraud. Maybe that's what it was about. Also targeted in this was the RNC, Conservative Partnership Institute, Save America PAC, and many, many other. Folks, it's pretty outlandish to think that all of these people, all these groups were targeted, but it happened. It happened. And it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. If you're someone like, let's say, Senator Ted Cruz, you're pretty fired up because you've just recently learned that they tried to tap your phones in your office. Take a listen to clip four on how fired up Cruz is right now.
The Biden Justice Department signed off on issuing subpoenas for the phone records of at least 9 U.S. senators, 20% of the Republicans in the United States Senate were the target of this fishing expedition. They did so in complete contravention of the Constitution, of separation of powers, of the speech and debate clause, of free speech, of basic rights of privacy. This is an executive who believes it is justified spying on their opponents in the legislature because they convince themselves the ends justify the means.
Now, they convince themselves that their personal agenda is worth it all. They are trying to take out the Republican Party, conservatives as well, and anyone who's helping continue to fund or fight for them, they're going after them. Folks, this is political war. There's no other way to say it. If you're sitting here and you're wondering, well, why would they be doing that? They're doing that because they know they get away with it. And in fact, we've seen more and more names pop up again. There's a lot of people they targeted. Jared Kushner also added to that list. Larry Trump as well. Stephen Miller also. They were looking for the communications with White House advisors, of course. It doesn't end there, though. They also were issuing subpoenas for the communications with media outlets like CBS News, Fox News, Fox Business, Newsmax, and Sinclair. Now, all but CBS are allegedly conservative news outlets, so you could probably imagine what's going on there. Folks, this is what happens when you let them get away with everything. They were able to go after, under Barack Obama, and target journalists. So they wanted to find out who you were talking to. I talk about it all the time. They spied on journalists, got away with it. The Tea Party, the hit job, the IRS said, got away with it. And so, of course, they're going to ramp things up. What are the consequences? The consequences are nothing. You could do whatever you want. Nobody from the Obama regime was ever held accountable. So what are we doing here? You're going to keep dropping all these bombshells and you're not going to make a move? Well, it only gets worse. It only gets worse. If you're outraged or you're bothered because there's 9 U.S. senators, which is 20% of the Republican senators right now serving, what are you upset about? because you're not going to do anything about it. It's pretty infuriating. In fact, it's infuriating because in clip five, you're going to hear Chuck Grassley talk about the phone companies, how the phone companies, one of them just rolled over. Another one, according to him, did fight back. Take a listen.
I've recently been informed by Verizon that at least 11 members with Verizon accounts were affected. That includes a hard line for Senator Cruz's office and a staffer's cell phone for former Senator Loeffler. AT&T informed me they challenged the legal basis for Jack Smith's efforts, and Smith backed down.
Ah, so all they had to do was challenge his legal efforts, his BS subpoenas. That's all they had to do. AT&T did it. Good for them. Good for them. Because there was no reason for this. But Jack Smith knew that there was going to be very little pushback by certain companies, and this is what they do. This is what they are able to get away with. Their subpoenas were garbage, and we'll talk about how they even obtained a lot of these, of course, from a very corrupt judge. But again, time and time again, we keep talking about this. All you got to do is fight back a little bit, and you can usually fend off these people. But so many just roll over under the slightest sign of pressure. It wasn't just Jack Smith. Obviously, Jack Smith is the face of all of this. But the reality of it is there's a lot of people behind this. And nothing's going to come from this. And everyone who's wrapped in this and saying, oh, I had my constitutional rights violated. Guess what? Bad news. DOJ, current DOJ, if you try to file a lawsuit, it's going to say that the DOJ is exempt from any claims regarding constitutional violations. They did that in court just against the Proud Boys, Rick Atario. That was just filed. They're asking a judge to dismiss the lawsuit because they say they have sovereign immunity when it comes to those things, when it comes to your constitutional rights being violated. They can violate it, according to Pam Bondi's DOJ, and there's no ramifications. So if you're fired up, you're upset about this, hate to tell you, you can't sue. Unless, of course, the judge throws that argument out, and we hope that the judge does. But the DOJ thinks they have some sovereign immunity, which will not allow those to go after them. Now, it's very, very clear here that the FBI was working with the special prosecutor's office. It was doing their very best to help out. Dozens of interviews conducted by the FBI in all of this. Thousands of your taxpayer dollars were put into this. So you should be fired up. This goes deep. This goes deep. We've only scratched the surface in all of this. When you start to go through everything, and there's 1,700 pages, so it's going to take us quite some time to go through all of this, you start to learn that this, in fact, was a communist takeover. You see, there are people who hate this country who want to see this country's demise. But when you throw in everything that they did to make sure that President Trump couldn't get back in the White House, Arctic Frost, just a little, let's say that's probably about 20% of what they actually did. They're even paying, offering bonuses to Biden advisors, that advisor who told you he was expected to make $4 million. If Biden made his way back into the White House, base pay was $4 million as well. The incentives were all there for these people to steal. And it's kind of crazy to me because Senator Ted Cruz, like, he's fired up now, and that's great. But he's only fired up because he's now being involved in all of this. In clip six, you're going to hear from Ted Cruz getting really angry about the corrupt judge who decided to sign off on that subpoena to have his phones tapped and also helped block that from getting to him. Take a listen.
Whole year, because Ted may destroy evidence and tamper with witnesses. That is BS. I hope somebody will look at that.
And just one tweak. The judge didn't say I may destroy evidence. The judge signed an order that says the court finds reasonable grounds to believe that such disclosure will result in destruction of or tampering with evidence, intimidation of potential witnesses, and serious jeopardy to the investigation. And that is utterly without basis in fact. There was no evidence to support that.
If the prosecutor made that representation, the prosecutor perjured himself.
Amen.
And I'd bet $20 this judge cranked out an order like that for every single senator down up here. We just happen to have mine. But it's boilerplate. If you're a Republican, you're on the enemy's list, I find that you will destroy evidence. And so we're going to let the executive surveil you without Congress ever knowing about it.
Let me apologize to you.
Yeah. It's good to hear now they're fired up about this issue, but this has been going on for quite some time now. They were able to label thousands of Americans as terrorists because they didn't like their political beliefs. So they geared up and went after them. Nobody had a problem with that. Nobody stood up for them. Chuck Grassley did, though. He helped, at least. He tried to help. But now that all of these politicians are wrapped up in this, now they're fired up, now they're ticked off, now they're upset. It's very, very obvious they didn't just want to throw President Trump in prison. They wanted to go and use lawfare against all of these individuals and then force them to take bad plea agreements. That's what was really going on here, folks. When you look at all of this, that is a clear factor in all of this. What the end goal is in all of this. We've seen it time and time again. J6ers telling us they wanted me to sign a bad plea agreement. Tario, Enrique Tario telling me, of course, they wanted me to turn President Trump in and say that we worked together to orchestrate J6, but he didn't do so. They sentenced him to 22 years in prison. That was the goal. The goal was to pretend like Trump orchestrated J6. And it's crazy because I want you to look at this. America First Legal was also targeted, but America First Legal was never a thing back on January 6, 2021. So there's no reason why this would have been a part of something that Jack Smith's office was investigating. There's no reason for it. Unless you don't like Stephen Miller. You don't like the legal challenges coming from America First Legal. And you gear up and you go after them. So we're learning more and more about all of this. We're going to keep digging into it throughout today's show because, folks, this isn't ending anytime soon. And we told you yesterday that Alex Jones was even wrapped up into all of this. Now, we don't know specifically, and I've made my rounds of calls. We're continuing to dig into this, but we don't know specifically what was handed over by a certain attorney to the FBI, it looks like. But we'll find out. You got some great sources over there. So we're keeping this going. We're not going anywhere when it comes to the Arctic Cross investigation, the corruption. We'll be talking about that throughout the show today. So we're very excited for that. If you haven't done so already, folks, I want to tell you, we just launched Methylene Red over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there to the shop because I'm telling you, this is going to be something incredible. For someone who's trying to boost your brain health, you could pair this with Methylene Blue, and it is the ultimate way to kick up your energy and focus. Head on over to the shop, Alex Jones Store, thealexjonesstore.com right now. Grab yourself some Methylene Red, pair it with the Methylene Blue. You're going to love this. This isn't some weak watered down multivitamin. This is clinical grade bioavailability brain ammo. Folks, head on over to the shop, grab yourself some of this. We'll be right back with more to discuss.
What out there could have an effect like Methylene Blue and synergistically work with it to boost it and supercharge it? So I got with Bigley. They've been making supplements long before I got with them. And I got with Chase, who's really smart. And I said, I want you to go to a couple of different formulators and ask them what you think's the best. Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. And it works with Methylene Blue. And it works without it. And unlike Ultra Methylene Blue that you can't take if you're on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or certain medications, nothing in this has any of those counterindications. But still consult your physician. But when you take it with ultramethylene blue, it just does synergistic things that are amazing. I mean, I had this idea like a month into methylene blue exploding. I said, we got to come out with something that's complementary or even better. This is the research from that. You can buy 3 bottles, get 25% off. Buy 2 bottles, get 20% off. Buy 1 bottle, get 15% off. And when you subscribe and you cancel any time, it locks it in at 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this. So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. So I'm incredibly proud. And so we put this together as both the methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. It's got 5 grams of TMG, a methyl donor juggernaut that recycles homocysteine, fueling DNA repair and detoxifying your brain. It's got acetyl L-carnitine in it. It's a brain-penetrating carnitine that floods your mitochondria with ATP, which is basically energy and reverses cognitive aging. It's got uridine monophosphate in it, the synaptogenesis rocket fuel that grows new dendritic spines and locks in razor-sharp memory, and just so much more. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge, huge product that we've sold in different forms in the past. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed: migraine prevention, cardiovascular health, antioxidant, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
So that's what you're getting with us, Ultramethylene Red. Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take, and it's common sense to want to sell somebody something that really works. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. So much happening right now that we wanted to make sure we talk about. I obviously just, you know, went off on the Arctic Frost topic. We got a little bit more to share on that front, so I'm glad you're all joining us. Arctic Frost, obviously, is the big scandal these days because, well, Jack Smith, who was allegedly a special prosecutor going after President Trump for the J6 rally. Remember when they were trying to pin a case on him so they could take him off the campaign trail, throw him in prison so he couldn't land back in the White House? Well, they failed, thankfully, but we're learning more and more, and as I highlighted earlier, this was a very wide net that was casted, and it was meant to grab up anyone for any crime that they could possibly find. Yesterday, Chuck Grassley holding a press conference saying that he's found more individuals who were wrapped up in all of this. 34 individuals were targeted. 163 businesses were also targeted. We know that it covered at least 430 named Republican individuals. It also went after the communications with media outlets like CBS, Fox News, Fox Business, Newsmax, and Sinclair. It also wanted to map out the communications with the legislative branch members, employees, or agents. And it went after some key advisors like Jared Kushner, Lara Trump, Stephen Miller, Dan Scavino. So they were doing their very best find some crime and go after them, probably try to blackmail them. We always wonder why people turn on the Trump administration so quickly, on the president so quickly. It's probably this. They probably do this to other people. We saw Hope Hicks' name on that list. We see so many people's names on this list. They probably dig for anything. When they can find something, they hold it over your head and they make you just turn on the president. That would probably be my best guess. Because why else would you be going after all these individuals? It's obviously about control. It's about obtaining their financial record, trying to possibly find any crimes. I mean, as you heard yesterday when I was sitting down with Alex Jones on his show yesterday, when he fed the first round of document dumps that came this week into Grok, you learned they were investing people for things like gambling. So again, they're trying their very best to pin any charge they can on these people. It's probably why so many turn against the president. The deep state definitely uses all of this as leverage, and that's what's going on. President Trump reacting to the news yesterday on Truth Social as well. These thugs should all be investigated and put in prison, a disgrace to humanity. Deranged Jack Smith is a criminal. Yeah, you got that right. He is a criminal. He belongs in prison. He should be dragged to prison. Jack Smith is a treasonous coward. But will that happen now? We've been sitting around waiting. I haven't heard much on the front of them going after Jack Smith. I haven't heard of him being dragged out in front of Congress. Is Jack Smith going to get away with this? Everyone who was operating behind Jack Smith, are they going to get away with this? Well, it's not really helpful when you realize that those FBI field offices that were helping run Arctic Frost, well, some of them are actually still running those same field offices. Yeah. That's according to a watchdog group. Not very exciting. Not what you want to hear. But of course, that's what's going on and that's what's happening. And unfortunately for those who are looking for accountability, well, we haven't seen any times of signs of that. So keep that in mind. I want to discuss something else that happened, and I'm not sure. We had my girl Mel Kay on the show yesterday. Mel was telling us, Brianna, did you see that the Gates Foundation was under investigation? I didn't know what she was talking about. Well, take a look at this report. He's such a great person. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley. I can't stop saying his name this morning. It's like the only functioning person in the Senate right now is Senator Chuck Grassley, and he's north of 90. Senator Chuck Grassley has launched an investigation into the foundation's alleged funneling of tens of millions of dollars in grants and entitlements to ties to those with the CCP. So he's concerned that the Gates Foundation has been funding Chinese military fronts. Grassley cited several media reports that suggested in 2023 that the Gates Foundation directed $11.7 million to various arms of Chinese government, $2 million to corporations linked by the U.S. Department of Defense to the Chinese military, and $6.7 million to state-run universities that support Xi Jinping's regime. Grassley noted that the foundation's 2022 tax filings that showed, according to the senator, the nonprofit provided approximately $23 million in funding to over 20 different Chinese entities, some of which were labeled as foreign governments. Ah, you don't say. You don't say. Here we thought they were actually doing good work. Just kidding, no one thought that. So thankfully, Senator Chuck Grassley is investigating that too. I don't know how his team does it. Truthfully, I don't know how. I can tell you he doesn't spend his days on Fox News trying to get sound bites. He's actually doing the legwork to expose these treasonous pigs. I bet you they were all hoping that the senator was going to retire from politics. Thankfully, he did not do that. I know many of the evil people in this country, truly, and our enemies abroad, they wanted that. Bill Gates is apparently going a little soft these days on CO2. This comes as he spent decades trying to sound the alarm on CO2. Let me pull this up for you folks. And this is interesting because yesterday I had a very busy day and I was going through a lot and I saw that President Trump was talking about Bill Gates admitting he's wrong. And I said, what the heck is he admitting he's wrong about? Well, the billionaire apparently says we can adapt and the obsession with the carbon has come to a real human cost. Now, he's someone who's been spending years now pushing all of this, obviously, but now he's admitting, humans can adapt. We should prioritize improving lives over emission metrics. I mean, duh. I don't know if it's legit, though, because he's trying to get his way to the White House. Obviously, we saw that meeting that he had with President Trump. We didn't like it. I didn't like it. Nobody I knew liked it. You want to keep Bill Gates as far as you can from the White House with his Pfizer CEO. Keep them all out. Keep them all out. President Trump, like you see on your screen, took to Truth Social. We just won the war on climate change hoax. Bill Gates has finally admitted that he was completely wrong on the issue. I mean, he didn't sound like he was he didn't admit that. It took courage to do so. And for that, we are all grateful. MAGA, the president posted yesterday on Truth Social. I mean, he definitely didn't do that. I didn't see a complete admission that he was wrong. But we found this gem. In clip 7, I want you to take a listen to the lies that were being spewed, and still are being spewed, by Mr. Bill Gates. Take a listen.
This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. That's back from high school algebra.
Oh, Bill Gates. It's so funny. It's not funny. It's not funny. Maybe this is a slight sign of hope. I highly doubt it. But if you're looking to feel optimistic, take it for what it's worth. The president saying that Bill Gates is admitting he's completely wrong on the issue. Looks like he's just saying that humans can adapt, which is something he wasn't saying prior. Let's give you an update on the government shutdown because that's still going on. We're on day 29. And we're not going anywhere anytime soon. The government shutdown, if you're somebody who's reliant on food stamps, probably getting a little nervous, being closer to November 1st. This is the second longest government shutdown in American history. And Bernie Sanders is coming clean in clip 8, and he's playing his part in the shutdown. Take a listen.
We are here today to send a very loud and a very clear message to President Trump. Obey the law. I know that's a hard concept for the president, but obey the law. Do what Congress mandated you do. Do not let children in America and their parents and grandchildren go hungry. Do not go down as the first president in history to manufacture a hunger crisis in the richest country on earth. Release these funds. Now, the good news is there are at least 11 Republicans in the Senate who are supporting a bipartisan bill to ensure that no one in America goes without the nutrition assistance they need during the shutdown. And that is very good news. And I thank those 11 Republicans, every Democrat supports that bill as well.
Okay, so he's pushing that when in actuality, Senate Republicans are the ones who are causing the shutdown because they don't want to vote on the current spending bill that's been brought forward. Instead, they keep rejecting it. Now they're going to place the blame on President Trump, which doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But it's not just him. It's not just Bernie Sanders. It's also in clip 9, another Democrat is coming forward now, and he's saying that we should be able to fund SNAP while continuing to keep the government shut down. Take a listen.
Pass this bill now, fund SNAP, fund WIC, before this hunger crisis hits our communities. So, Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent that the Senate proceed to immediate consideration of S-3071 introduced earlier today, that the bill be considered read 3 times and passed, and that the motion to reconsider be considered made and laid upon the table.
Is there an objection?
Mr. President.
The majority leader.
Thank you. Reserving the right to object.
Folks, this isn't how things work. You can't just make money appear. Those in the Senate know that. That's why they're trying to create this illusion. They know that their base is ignorant on the issue of how government works. And so if they sit there and say this is Trump's fault, they'll believe it. The reality of it is they're holding out because they want illegal aliens to get health care. That is what's going on right now in Washington, D.C. And there's not much more to add to. I mean, it's so bad. We played it for you yesterday. Jake Tapper has to even get in here and say, you guys, this is all on you. You know, things are really, really bad when Jake Tapper coming clean and saying, well, we didn't do this. Talk about Republicans. You did. It's Democrats. I mean, he literally grilled a Democrat on his show who was unable to even put together a sentence after her because she was so unhinged. This is what's going on in this country right now. These people are all lying because their voting base is intentionally ignorant. Why do I say intentionally ignorant? Because they have failed them intentionally throughout the educational process. And so, yeah, they have no idea what they're talking about. Now, the Republican leader in the Senate, John Thun, he is apparently going hard in clip 10 on Democrats. Take a listen.
Let me just point out, if I might, that we are 29 days into a Democrat shutdown. And the senator from New Mexico was absolutely right. SNAP recipients shouldn't go without food. People should be getting paid in this country. And we've tried to do that 13 times. You voted no 13 times. This isn't a political game. These are real people's lives that we're talking about. And you all have just figured out 29 days in that, oh, there might be some consequences. There are people who are running out of money. Yeah, we're 29 days in. And they've done their best to make sure that a lot of these programs are funded. But at some point, the government runs out of money. 13 times people over here voted to fund SNAP. 13 times they voted to fund WIC. My aching back. Finally realized this thing has consequences. Well, you know what? What Democrats are doing here. They're making plans to keep the shutdown going.
According to a lot of individuals in Washington, D.C., they think they're going to drag this on until Thanksgiving. I don't know if we're going to make it that long. We're already seeing, and I saw videos of it yesterday, of individuals taking to TikTok to threaten Americans that if they don't get their SNAP benefits, that they're going to come after innocent Americans. Specifically, actually, there's a video of a black individual saying that he's going to go after white people. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. These are the people that are being fed by our government because, specifically these people, they just don't want to work. There's a sense of entitlement. You owe them SNAP benefits. Now, there are many in this country that do need them, and we should help those Americans out. If you're disabled, if you're maybe an elderly individual, yeah, I could see us helping you. That's not a problem. But this system has been abused, and it continues to be abused. But again, we see so many people. This is the person. Now threatening eight white people. Can we actually get this soundbite, guys? Perfect. We'll pull it together. We'll play it for you. Someone sent it to me yesterday, and I was like, I didn't think it was real. It's real. And it's up right now on Infowars.com. But hear me out. I just don't understand why we're allowing this. We have people who are going around threatening innocent Americans. And they're claiming they're going to come after us. They're going to eat us. I can see that happening with the third world trash we've imported. Very, very likely that will happen with them. But it's interesting because we sit back, we watch as Democrats continue to pretend like President Trump is the one holding up food stamps in this country. He's not holding them up. You have to pass a bill to get funding. That's how government works. But those on the left are just too damn stupid to understand that. They're not intelligent. And again, that's intentional. The public school system has intentionally failed them. It's so enraging that this is what's going on in this country, but this is what's happening. We played it for you yesterday. There was a bunch of people posting TikTok and just ranting about how we're going to commit crimes. We're going to steal short ribs from the supermarket. That's what's going on here. There's a sense of entitlement because why should they have to work? You should work, but they don't have to. Those are also the same people, some of them, who are demanding reparations. Because you can't stop freeloading. You need more and more and more. And individuals like Senator Chuck Grassley and others are sitting here and they're egging on this argument as if it is a Republican shutdown. And I'm not going to advocate and use the SNAP benefits as a chip as to why we need to end the shutdown. Let me be clear about that. This is all intentional or intentionally using this. They're intentionally using the grandma and grandpa story, not being able to feed their grandchildren or eat themselves. They're using it intentionally because they want to force President Trump to stop holding the red line. Let's take a listen to that video of an individual apparently looking to eat white people if his EBT gets cut off.
I just wanted to come real fast just to make this video, just to make something very, very clear to the white man. Black Americans do not care about your government shutdown, and Black Americans do not care about you taking away our EBT and our government assistance, because Black Americans never depended on the American government to take care of us and feed us, because we never could. We were never able to depend on the government in spite of what you may say and what you may try to force us to believe. So you can sit back and you can mock, you can laugh, and you can think that you're about to starve us to death, but I'm here to let you know that we are going to eat regardless, even if we have to hunt you animals down and roast and eat you. The delectable crackers and cheese. We will make it happen if we have to, trust and believe me. And if it takes this government shutdown for Black people to finally come from under the government and understand that we don't need to be paying our taxes into this government, what we really need to be doing is taking care of one another, buying land and growing our own food and building our own nation. If this government shutdown and starvation is what it's going to take, then let the party begin. It's Black power, baby, and we rise.
I will eat your ass.
It's hard for me to believe that that's actually a real person and not AI. And I thought that was a man. Apparently it's a female. Sorry. I'm going to go with that's AI because I cannot believe that there is a human being on earth who truly believes just that. Probably should forward that over to DHS right now and FBI. Probably look into that person to see if it's even a real person. I don't even understand how somebody talks like that. These are the people who've been feeding on the system for far too long. I want to go to clip 11 because Chuck Schumer, well, again, he is trying to pin all of this on Republicans. And he's also trying to step in and say that the USDA has the funding to make sure that SNAP doesn't end. Take a listen.
Perspective of the dispute on whether USDA contingency funds can be used for SNAP benefits.
It is not, wait a minute, excuse me. It is not a dispute. It is fact they can use it, and the Republicans say it.
Okay, but there's, you know, only $5 or $6 billion, and SNAP costs $8 billion monthly just to administer. I mean, if anything, it would only last.
It does not cost $5 or $6 billion to administer. There's enough money to start feeding people right away. $6 billion's a lot of money, and they're using it for other things. $20 billion for Argentina. Hundreds of millions for Kristi Noem's plane? Who are we kidding here? The bottom line is they can fund it just as in 2019, just as in other shutdowns, for a long period of time.
And they also, the contingency fund, which is $6 billion, which gets you nearly a month, 3 weeks, runs out, then they can pass Senator Lujan or Senator Hawley's bill, both of which we support. We know that there'll be 60 votes for that. Why aren't they calling it up? They're not calling it up because the House isn't here to pass it. That's the way it works. The House would have to come here. They probably would have to vote on the Epstein files, but they're choosing to let kids go hungry instead of having to vote on the Epstein files. There's no doubt about it. They have been out for 6 weeks on vacation.
Just think, if they have all this money for Argentina and all this money for other things, they have enough money to keep funding SNAP, and they know it. And I just want to say what Lujan said. Johnson just lies. He lied about on immigration, on the undocumented. He's lying about this. He just outright lies, plain and simple. It is not illegal, and his own president has done it.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I love this New York Post article, the cover, I should say. And they really hate Alison Steinberger, by the way. They cannot stand that she's in there and she's asking these tough questions. Chuck Schumer really becoming unhinged when he's dealt with the facts. And he can't tolerate it. He can't stand it. Can't stand it. This isn't surprising, folks. This is actually what we would expect from one of the worst individuals on the left. He's fighting for his survival. And that is the reason why he is so upset. He has to now fight because the far left has completely radicalized the party, and he has to fight for health care for illegal aliens, even though he knows it's wrong, and this is them shifting the narrative. Don't let them control the narrative. For all you Republicans out there, don't let them control the narrative. Get out there and say something, do something. This is their issue, not ours. See, time and time again, they lie to the American people, and they get away with it. They get away with it because, well, they could scream louder than you, as you just heard Allison just trying to simply ask questions based on facts. They don't like that. They don't like that. It's just, it's so enraging. But they get away with it because they're able to control the narrative. They do actually a very good job at that. Folks, I want to remind you right now to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just this week launched Methylene Red. So if you're someone who's trying to get rid of your brain fog, maybe just kind of clear your mind a little bit, get a good jolt to the day, head on over to the shop right now and grab yourself some Methylene Red. It's great for energy and focus, of course, and it's great to pair up with our blue as well. So get both of them while you're over at thealexjonesstore.com because, folks, there is just so much to grab when it comes to your personal health, and we highly recommend you do just that. This is something that's going to help improve your cognitive abilities. Probably should have snuck this in Joe Biden's water every morning. They should have done so. We probably should have given them a bottle at this point. That's all right. But folks, head on over to the shop right now. While stock is still in supply right now, while we still have a supply, of course, you got to grab yourself some Methylene Red, pair it up with Methylene Blue over at thealexjonesstore.com. Grab it today while supplies last. And of course, it is only available, again, at thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
There is a white supremacy problem, and it's weird, old, elitist white people that are literally manipulating everybody, killing each other so they can stay in power. And it pisses me off when I sit there pissed off watching this, watching these wild-eyed, crazy people that want to kill me because what color I am. I know who brainwashed them. I know who wound them up. I know who sent them. I don't blame the dumbasses. No, I blame Carbo and John Podesta and the Clintons and Obama and the rest of them. That's who I blame. I know they got whistleblowers out the door at the DOJ. The problem is they don't have prosecutors with testicles to do the job. Can you feel the future? Can you feel the danger? Can you feel the destruction? I certainly do. But I don't think you dumbasses that serve evil do. See, you're in a new ball game. It's a new era. And you know what Thomas Jefferson said? The blood of patriots and tyrants waters the tree of liberty. And I don't want that. And there's a good chance we can avoid a lot of that. But not according to the left. They are just whole hog, let's get it on. And so, you know my view. I think it's your view. Not out starting fights. Not trying to get in trouble. But if people are looking for trouble, they came to the right place. If you want a war, you got one. If you have some need to be stomped into the ground, well, you came to the right place with the American people. Because America was asleep, and you thought we were intimidated while you pissed in our faces and did all this to us. No, people were asleep. The spell is lifted. It's over. You need to learn to look at a weather vane and see which way the wind blows. It's blowing against you, and this wind, this headwind, is unstoppable. The only question is, are you smart enough to understand that? Surrender is your only option. Surrender now. Give up now. Stop now.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're getting ready to kick off the second hour of the show. Got a lot to talk about today, a lot going on around the world. We keep digging into Arctic Frost, and I'll bring you more details on that throughout today's show because, well, we caught Jack Smith, the so-called special prosecutor, going after Joe Biden's political opposition, literally anyone. I mean, the net was so wide that he was trying to get any type of charges, any type of intel on not only just politicians, but groups close advisors to President Trump and groups like America First Legal, which wasn't even in existence on January 6, 2021. But it doesn't matter. They don't care. These people don't give a damn. This is what they were doing. They don't care. I repeat, they don't care. There's no consequences. There was no consequences when the Biden regime went after and spied on J6ers. There was no consequences when Barack Obama went and spied on journalists. When he weaponized the IRS to go after the Tea Party, there was no consequences for any of this. So now we're in a moment where we are seeing that since the Obama years, that all of this has elevated. It has become a massive, massive issue now. I mean, Watergate was a freaking amateur scandal compared to this. That's what's going on right now. So more people are outraged, they're angry, they're fired up, they're going out there and they're giving you great sound bites. But what the heck is going to happen next? What's going to happen? You see, Jack Smith should obviously be disbarred. But he should be carted off in handcuffs. This is what happens, folks. The left will go after their political opposition and not care. They don't care. There's zero consequences. Zero. So we're going to dig into that a little bit. We're also going to talk about a report that is being denied by the FBI, but ultimately Tulsi Gabbard's advisor, Joe Kent, according to reports, is probing a foreign involvement in Charlie Kirk's assassination. Kent reviewed FBI files to check if Kirk's killer received foreign assistance, according to the New York Post again. The New York Times. And there's a lot of information on this. Plus, I'll give you the update as to what the FBI is specifically saying in regards to this. They are denying this report. But again, I've seen the FBI deny things under this FBI that I know to my sources are true. So just because they deny doesn't mean it's upfront. It's a lie. We'll dig into that too in the second hour of the show. We got a lot to go off on, a lot. Also yesterday, I don't know if you saw the news, it kind of missed the headlines. The Fed just reduced rates again by a quarter point, I should say. That's big news, because we're finally seeing some momentum on that front. Now we're down a half a point so far in the last 2 months. Although, yes, it's very, very late in the game. It's a slight victory. Hunter Gaylor is going to be joining the program today to discuss just that. He is our money man when it comes to that. I always want to know what he's thinking. So we're excited to have him on the show later today. I also am going to speak with an attorney because I want to hear the breakdown as to where we go from all here. I mean, where do we go? Right. We now know all the crimes that were committed within the Biden regime. Where do we go from here? Obviously, people need to go to prison. And we need to do just that. But I also want to talk to an attorney, get some legal advice on the story we were talking about yesterday regarding Joe Biden's health, his mental decline. So many people knew about it. And they did a lot to cover it up. Can anyone go to prison for that? We know that his doctors could lose their licenses, and I think that's the key point to this. But they did such an incredible job at lying. I'm being sarcastic there. I should highlight that. Lying to the American people. If you were watching InfoWars, if you're watching my podcast, you know that we weren't lying to you for the last 4 years. We told you Joe Biden wasn't well. Those in the corporate media, they didn't care. They lied to you. And then they're pretending like they were lied to themselves. Don't shoot us. No, we were just going with whatever the White House was telling us. We couldn't use our own brains and look through our own eyes and tell you what was actually happening behind the scenes. That's a cheap fake you're seeing right there on your screen. No, just kidding. That's a elderly man who was just a warm body filling a seat in the White House. Well, the deep state did whatever they wanted to do behind the scenes. We'll discuss in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us. President Trump, I think he's watching today's show because he just posted to Truth Social something very, very important in regards to Jack Smith's persecution, prosecution, whatever you want to call it these days. Here he is. Talking about Jack Smith as a criminal and should be in jail, a major low life and a failure, an ugly person both inside and out. I beat him badly and love watching him squirm now. So we're talking about Joe Biden, I guess, there, as well as it's Arctic Frost. I'm pretty sure he's also talking about Jack Smith as well. So not surprising here, President Trump refusing to back down. Obviously, these people are going after him. But who could blame the president? Who could blame the president? It's so infuriating, folks. These people thought they were going to get away with it. It truly, truly is. We've got more that we're digging into, though. There was a lot that was dropped yesterday. 1,700 pages. And so I'm reading through it. I'm trying my very best to figure all of this out. Again, President Trump sounding off on this issue. We're thankful for just that. Folks, I'm having a slow brain day today. I got a lot of brain fog. So we figured, I know a lot of people were asking at home. Probably should read the instructions first for droppers. This is our new methylene red, and I wanted to make sure you guys saw this at home because I'm having a slow brain day today. So we're going to, that might have been a little bit more than four, but we're going to try this out. We're going to try this out and see if this clears up my brain fog. I've got about an hour and 50 minutes left of the show. So we'll see how this goes. I don't know how long it takes to kick in, and probably should mix it up a little bit, but cheers anyway. It tastes good. This is the strawberry, the sour strawberry flavor. It's going to help boost my cognitive powers, which I could really use these days. Cellular fuel and lasting energy. You see, it's not easy doing a show like this. This early in the morning. I actually wake up anywhere from 3 to 4 a.m. Depends upon the day. Today was a 3 a.m. day. And so I'm going to need this. And this is great to pair up, obviously, with your methylene blue as well. So we're telling everyone to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Grab yourself one of these. It's good. I can't even taste it, but it's probably because I haven't mixed it up yet. You'd probably use a stir. But I'll just chug and get to the bottom of this pretty quickly. I could use some water in my life these days anyway. Folks, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now and grab yourself some methylene red. We just launched this week, and we're excited, of course, that you are all joining us on this mission to help improve our cognitive abilities. None of us want to be the next Joe Biden, and this is how we prevent just that. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and grab yourself some. I strongly rely on this. It keeps me up and running. You know, before I come on air, I have to do the methylene capsules, blue capsules, because the actual drops itself in the water, I'm always afraid I'm going to stain out of my outfit like right before we go to air. And so before I'm running in my heels and just tossing them back and then running onto the set to do just that. So this is going to be good. Head on over to the store too and grab that too. All right, I want to talk about this FBI story a little bit because I think this is really fascinating. FBI Director Kash Patel. According to this report from the New York Times, blocked Tulsi Gabbard's advisor, Joe Kent, from probing the foreign involvement in Charlie Kirk's assassination. Kent reviewed the FBI files to check if Kirk's killer received foreign assistance. Now, according to the New York Times, this was very alarming for Kash Patel, considering this interference. Kent's supporters say he was probably looking into leads to rule out foreign groups. When Patel discovered Kent's access via a low-ranking FBI official, apparently that triggered a White House meeting. That's what they're saying. Now, again, so far the FBI is denying this report, but apparently there was a meeting into all of this with a lot of the key players. Now, it goes on to say that there was a meeting between Patel, Kent, Gabbard, VP J.D. Vance, Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, senior DOJ officials, and ultimately, they had a meeting about all of this. Now, again, Kent was just looking to see if there's, according to this report, if there was any type of foreign element to Charlie Kirk's assassin. And Ben Williamson, who is one of the spokes individuals over at the FBI, he actually took to Truth Social yesterday, and I'll get that up for you guys. He took to Truth Social yesterday to deny this claim, deny the report that was shared in the Daily Mail, saying this is false. A comprehensive FBI investigation is still ongoing, and Director Patel and Deputy Bongino have instructed investigators to pursue every lead. That is according to Ben Williamson, who is the Assistant Director of Public Affairs at the FBI. So he's denying this. The FBI is denying this report. But I think it's interesting, right? Because obviously, you know, we keep hearing that they are going through every element of all of this, and they are looking to possibly circumvent everything that's coming their way. They want to make sure that obviously there's no foreign element. And that's what the FBI claims is going on. And I haven't heard yet from Kent. I will reach out to their team, see if they have anything they'd like to add to the story. But I think this is really interesting. You see, we talk about this all the time, specifically the FBI and what's going on behind the scenes. And I don't know what to make of the report. Number one, it's the New York Times. That's a big one. Number two, I find it hard to believe that the FBI Director Kash Patel would really be squashing something like that. Because keep in mind, folks, him and Charlie Kirk were friends. So this is personal. So although I've been critical of the response to what happened to Charlie, obviously, and the lack of just really anything regarding going after the left-wing groups, because they're claiming that this individual was a left-wing terrorist, a transgender activist. So we didn't see anyone's doors get ripped off the hinges like the old FBI would have done. So there's that. I want to turn to another story because, as many of you guys know, I feel like biometrics or government biometric systems is like my beat these days, okay? So anything that has to do with the government taking your biometrics and stashing away into a database, I am on the ball. I'm on the ball. I've read through government documents. I've sued TSA for documents related to it that they want to hand over through a FOIA request. When it comes to that, I'm all over the place. Take a look at this report. This comes from 404 Media. It's about, and I've read about this program when they announced it. ICE and CPB are actively using smartphone facial recognition technology in the field to ID and verify immigration status. Based on evidence reviewed by 404 Media, they allege that ICE is using mobile. It's like I've seen the app before. Let me just kind of tell you. It's meant to scan your faces. So it's a mobile app that's meant to scan your face. And it is connected to the DHS database, which under the Patriot Act, I probably should have started off with this, under the Patriot Act is required for foreigners who are not U.S. citizens. Now, when you go through customs, if you are an American citizen, you don't have to have your biometrics taken. But if you are a foreigner, due to the Patriot Act, you actually are required to have your biometrics taken. Now, that's has created a database within DHS where they have foreigners' biometrics information. We know that. This is something that's being utilized by the State Department, CBP, FBI, and states. Now, again, it is this database, this app now has over 200 million, specifically million, I want to keep highlighting that, images. So it has all this. So when these illegal aliens were coming in, they were being met, and whether they were saying that they were here to claim asylum and release into our country, their biometrics, their fingerprints, their face was supposed to be scanned. So all what's happening now is ICE agents are scanning their face to see if it's a match. Again, I stand against biometrics being taken on American citizens, and I'm very certain that it's actually happening on a global level, and I'll explain that to you too later today. But Benny Thompson apparently gave a statement about this, saying that ICE officials are using this biometric match app and have determined that the person's status, or they're using it to determine the person's status. An ICE officer may ignore evidence of American citizenship, including a birth certificate, if the app says that the person is an alien. Now, again, I haven't seen any evidence of this claim. ICE is using a mobile biometrics app in ways its developers at CBP never intended it to be used or tested. He's also calling this an unconstitutional attack. Yeah, buddy, welcome to the show. TSA has been lying to Americans, capturing their biometrics. This has been going on for years. This isn't something that just started. Capturing their biometrics. They've had to sign up at the airport saying that they'll delete it after they capture it. But in fact, there is a limited amount that is shifted over to DHS, and then TSA deletes it from their system. Now, that limited amount, when I asked DHS specifically about that, they wouldn't give me a number. And sadly, TSA admitted it to me. Yeah, we're doing it. That little note you see at the airport, we will delete. That's garbage. They're lying to you. Now, again, I'm okay with it being used for foreigners. I actually welcome that because, to be blunt, it's very hard to tell a lot of these people apart. Take that what you want. I don't care. I'll probably get clipped. But a lot of these individuals, it's very difficult to tell them apart. When they come through our borders, they're obviously very ruggedy looking because a lot of them did have to go through the jungle, through a Panama, haven't showered in days. And then you take their photo. It's very hard to just tell if you had to just capture their image. And when you catch them out there. I mean, so I understand why biometrics are needed there. My angle in all of this is when we start taking capturing the images of American citizens, which goes on because sadly so many Americans don't understand their rights. They don't understand that when you go through the airports, when you go through Border Patrol, when you go through customs, you don't have to hand over your biometric images. You don't have to let them do it. Some people are like, oh, they told me that I had to. That's a lie. You don't have to. I'm telling you don't have to. The Patriot Act makes it very clear. They're also using this type of same service, this information over to, with other foreign countries as well. We talked about that on the show as well. They are exchanging information to go after those narco terrorists to make sure they don't come into the United States. So there's a balance here that needs to be recognized. Now, I reached out, and I have to give kudos to DHS because many agencies don't get back to me when I ask for comments, or they get back to me super late, and it makes me very, makes it very difficult for me to tell you what their response is. But kudos to DHS, who got Customs and Border Patrol to respond to me early this morning when I sent over a request for comments. Put that up on X. I'm going to give you kind of a brief overview of all of this, but shout out to the CBP because they were the ones who actually got back to me super quick. Their public affairs commissioner, Hilton Beckham, said this. The Trump administration is using every tool at its disposal to keep Americans safe. After President Trump created the most secure border in American history, DHS is following the law by developing and implementing a comprehensive biometric entry and exit system to match records of aliens entering and departing the United States. Now, again, it always sounds good when it first starts off, but again, you and I both know that they abuse these things all the time, or could be used rightfully under the Trump administration, but then abused under the next regime. Of course, manually reviewing passports had historically been used to carry out the this responsibility, but facial comparison technology can do this, obviously, with great accuracy, like I just detailed for you. So it makes sense. This makes sense. This rule simply amends DHS's regulations to provide that DHS may require all aliens to be photographed when entering or exiting the United States. He's detailing for you there the Patriot Act. Now, my question wasn't directly answered. Of course, I asked if DHS is the app. Sorry. This is what happens when I didn't take my methylene red early in this morning. I'm pretty much asking, though, the original question was, is DHS using this biometrics grab on Americans as well? Do they have they captured the biometrics of Americans? So not a direct answer, but that's probably my fault for not waking up before sending this request for comments, which was sent at 4 a.m. I've got to take this home with me and make sure I start this off early in the morning. But folks, again, your biometrics, it's your information. It should not be used by the government. I am an advocate for that. But I told you when I went to Budapest for work, I did travel over to cover an event in Budapest. When I came back into the U.S. and went through customs, I was the only person who said no to the biometrics grab. I didn't let them take my photo. I went over to the agent who was not very happy at all, was actually very angry with me and made me go through extra security measures just because he thought it was funny that I was smiling. And I said, no, I'm not going to do my biometrics. Here's my passport. And then he asked me questions. But the questions he asked me weren't asked to those who had their biometrics taken. And this is probably why I think there's a global, I mean, obviously, we know the globalists and the digital ID, everything is happening already. But they've never actually announced this. So what I am pretty sure is going on right now is this. After I refused to get my biometrics taken, the photo taken, they asked me what was my country that I was coming, what country did I come from? Isn't that something? Now, the others who had their biometrics taken, they didn't ask that question to them. Now, why? Probably because, well, we are sharing biometrics, and all they do is take your photo, and they know what country you came from. All of that information is very likely being shared. So, again, I don't know what to tell people. Stop giving in and save yourself a couple of seconds. It didn't take me long. And although, you know, the guy who was a real jerk working customs that day sent me down to have my bag looked into for agriculturers, he said, oh, it's random. Like, sir, there's no food in my bag. It's random. You've been randomly selected. I'm always randomly selected. Probably because got a couple of lawsuits pending against TSA. It's one lawsuit with multiple elements to it, but, you know, it doesn't really win you over any friends. It doesn't. And I love talking to these TSA customs agents. And they tell me, oh, you have to do this. And I go, no, I don't. No, I don't. There was one Fort Lauderdale TSA agent who said, no, you have to. It's required. No, it's not required. I don't have to give you my biometrics. And I said, let me talk to a supervisor. Oh, just kidding. Because, folks, surprise, surprise, a lot of government employees are actually very lazy, and so they don't want to do the hard work of having to take your ID, look at your face, and see if it matches. So they'd rather let the computer system do it for them. It's just the laziness of all of this. So we'll keep digging into the digital element of your biometrics potentially being used in this system. We don't know 100%. Again, I asked, but I kind of didn't give them, I'll be fair. I didn't drink my coffee. I don't even drink coffee. I didn't drink my green tea this morning. So that might have thrown me off on that one. Let's turn to another story. It's in regards to President Trump making a very big announcement. Just about an hour prior to meeting with a CCP leader. Nukes are back. What I mean by that is President Trump has authorized now. He's telling the Department of War to begin testing nukes again. Now, this is something we haven't done since 1992. I won't even tell you where I was in 1992. But we'll say that it's been a very, very long time. President Trump says that he wants this to resume. And he said it right before sitting down with the Chinese leader. The United States has more nuclear weapons than any other country. This was accomplished, including a complete updated renovation of existing weapons during my first term in the White House, President Trump said yesterday on Truth Social. Again, so he wants to make sure that these weapons are being tested. Okay. That's a great way to step into the meeting with the CCP. Get him on edge a little bit. The timing is impeccable. China's nuclear buildup is a source of great concern in the Pentagon right now, according to this report. Though it is still far fewer nukes than the United States and Russia, they are also really concerned with what the CCP is working on. So there is that. A lot happening also in regards to immigration as well. We're going to dig into that in just a little bit. Folks, if you want to call and discuss any of the topics we currently have kind of discussed throughout the show, I only want to keep it to the topics. I know a lot of you like to call and you have other topics you want to discuss, but I want to talk about what we've already discussed. Give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Let's hear from you. Again, we're going to do about 15 minutes worth of phone calls, and we'll dive back into the stories, to the headlines. But I want to give you the opportunity to weigh in on these stories. So give us a call, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. Weigh in. And again, we only want to talk about the topics that are relevant. Don't try to call, try to ambush us. No, no, no. We got to talk about this. I want to get to as many calls as we can, so we'll do the speed round when we're taking calls. We got about 15 minutes worth of phone calls, so give me a ring. But we're continuing to cover, and I'll go into it a little bit into depth in regards to immigration, the legal battles that we're still fighting, of course, and these biased courts. And who's standing in the way? I bet you probably predict who I'm going to refer to in all of this. Individuals who are standing in the way of making sure that ICE can't do their jobs. Surprise, surprise. There's a lot more to dig into. We're excited for that. So give me a ring. I see the calls are blowing up, so we look forward to taking those calls. Also, if you haven't done so already, I am trying my very best to do just that. I need to clear my brain fog. And so we've just grabbed ourselves some methylene red. I'm excited about this. I just put a couple of drops in my water. We're drinking this. And you'll see the progression. I already feel a little better so far. But folks, we just launched this earlier this week, and it is the sour strawberry flavor. So you got to head on over to the shop right now and grab yourself some. It's great to pair with methylene blue as well. For someone who is looking to improve your cognitive abilities, we could all do that these days. Head on over to the store and grab yourself some. This isn't some weak, watered-down multivitamin. This is something that's going to provide you clinical-grade strength. So head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. You got to buy both of them together. We're doing our best to make sure you don't turn into Joe Biden. And the best way to do that, head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. It's for a very limited time. We don't know how much longer these are going to last, while supplies last, of course. So grab yourself some of that. Folks, we also want to remind you to download the app as well. Head on over to the AlexJonesApp.com, AlexJonesApp.com. Download the app if you haven't done so already. I'm trying to make sure you guys can stay in touch with us. Whatever happens here over at InfoWars, we are getting ready for the next operation, because we will not stop this information war. So head on over, download the app as well. Give me a ring if you haven't done so already, 877-789-2539. We're taking about 15 minutes with the phone calls. And we're going to dive back into stories. There's a lot going on the front of immigration. And I've got a lot of great sound bites for you as well that you may have missed out on yesterday. And actually, one of you at home forwarded me a story that was not on my radar until you sent it over. It's in regards to a jail which allegedly was employing illegal aliens. Possibly over 100 illegal aliens inside the jail. I'll give you the story behind all of that in just a little bit. Plus, Turning Point held an event yesterday, and Erica Kirk spoke. And I know a lot of...
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish DMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and
he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing. But the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We have a lot going on over here. Let's dive into, we're taking your calls. So if you haven't done so already and you want to cover any of the news stories we talked about in the first portion of the show, give me a ring. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I want to hear from you. We'll be taking calls in about 10 minutes, I'd say. So give us a call. We want to hear from you. Okay, I want to talk about, we're going to go to clip 15, because a Biden spokesperson is now saying that he only, and this is also someone who's on his legal team, Ian Sams, he's claiming that he only met with Joe Biden 2 times, it looks like. Twice in 2 years, it looks like. Take a listen to this clip.
How often would you say that you interacted with the president in person?
I interacted with him pretty infrequently.
So weekly, monthly, what are we talking about?
Very infrequent. I think I met with the president a handful of times during my tenure in the White House.
I want to introduce Exhibit 2 as It's being passed around. It's a tweet from Alex Thompson at Axios summarizing, pulled a couple quotes of us, interview you did it on MSNBC, and one of the quotes says, when I deal with him, he is sharp, him being President Biden, and he is asking tough questions. Do you recall this?
I gotta say, that doesn't look anything like the president that I know. When I deal with him, he's sharp, he's asking tough questions. That's the President Biden that so many of us experience every single day.
So this statement, the basis for this statement was your interactions somewhere between one and five times.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that's a bit misleading?
I think it was pretty direct and honest and said that when I do deal with him, he's, you know, sharp, and he was asking incisive questions during my meetings with him.
But you've dealt with him five times in 24 months. That's not exactly a large scope of knowledge on how he interacts with staff. You don't think it's missing some context?
I don't.
Do you think that statement suggests that you deal with him more than you did?
I don't think so. I mean, I spoke about my own interactions with him.
That's the President Biden that we experience every day.
But to the best of your recollection, four meetings, two were in person.
The two that I described to you that I, at the very onset in the Oval, one was a Zoom where he was at Camp David, and I was a participant in the meeting, the phone call. I think there was another meeting, but I can't remember off the top of my head what it was. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm just trying to get an understanding. So the immunity decision was virtual with him at Camp David. There was a phone call regarding Hunter Biden's testimony.
Yes.
An in-person meeting regarding Hunter Biden's testimony. And one other in-person meeting?
About special counsel Herr's testimony.
About special counsel. So two in-person meetings.
Sure. At least that, yes.
Okay.
Oh. So you lie to the American people when you're doing your cable news hits and try to oversell us on saying the president was completely sharp, completely healthy, and completely functioning. Twice. That's when he met with him. Twice. These people are all scum. Scum. And you see him kind of getting a little nervous there. He's getting asked these questions because he knows he sold the American people garbage. But if you're watching InfoWars, this wasn't what we were telling you. We were telling you the truth. And those scumbags on cable news decided to give these people a platform to lie to the American people. But now they're telling you, oh, we got fooled too. We got fooled too. It's because everything's been exposed. I don't even know how they thought it was okay for them to pretend like he was okay. Let's turn to clip 16, because Whoopi Goldberg, I mean, she's gross, but there's other things that we talk about it. She is saying, like, why do you want to investigate Joe Biden? Why do you want to investigate who was actually running the White House at the time? She thinks we should all just stop. Take a listen.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. You know, I kind of agree with him. If you, instead of investigating a man who is no longer in office, I would like y'all to find out why the U.S. military is striking vessels without verifying who's in them.
Yeah.
I want the government shut down to figure out what's going on, because it's getting ready to be the longest one in history. Mm-hmm. SNAP benefits are about to run out. Soybean farmers in financial crisis. And, of course, there is the unreleased Epstein file.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you mean what they did to President Trump? Now we don't need investigations. But they had no problem trying to wrangle in Trump, wrangle in all of his allies when he wasn't in the White House. And now you think Whoopi Goldberg really gives a damn about soybean farmers? No. No. No one doesn't care. I mean, they're so bad at this. They are so bad at this. And they think you're just as stupid as they are. We'll be pretending like she cares about any of these things. Think she gives a damn about food stamps? No, she doesn't care. These people are so unbearable. And now they want to talk about Epstein, too, by the way. I mean, people like her have been sitting, where are the Epstein files? Where are the Epstein files? Did you push for them for the last, I don't know, 4 years when Joe Biden was occupying the White House? Did you ask then? Because he didn't. Show us, did you? Can't show you because they never did. They never did. Folks, I just got the stirrer, too, for my methylene red. It's a little orange, but it's great. It tastes good, actually. This tastes good. This is going to wake me up. This is going to keep things going. There's a lot more we have to dig into. Okay, before I take another sip of this, because I always think that's gross when people take sips of something on TV, I want you to take a listen to clip 17, because Miranda Devine, a woman who I dearly, dearly love and respect, she's an incredible job. She just asked President Trump, or sorry, she just asked J.D. Vance if there's a potential for him to be President Vance in the upcoming years. Take a listen.
How do you feel about that? And have you talked to the Secretary Rubio about it?
I've joked with the secretary about it. So the president first raised this with me probably 6 months or so ago.
Right.
During just, you know, one of our private lunches that we try to get lunch every couple of weeks just to catch up on what's going on and talk about things. He mentioned it probably 6 months or so ago. And I mentioned to the secretary in jest, but it feels so premature because we're still so early. And what I always say to people is if we take care of business, the politics will take care of itself. And we're 9 months into this thing. We've done a lot of good. There's a lot more work to do because, I mean, look, the thing that I most worry about is that Biden left us a terrible affordability crisis. Mm. We've got to make life more affordable for American citizens. Again, we've chipped away at that problem, but there's a lot more work to do there. So my attitude is the American people elected me to be vice president. I'm going to work as hard as I can to make the president successful over the next 3 years and 3 months. And if we get to a point where something else is in the offer, let's handle it then. But let's at least get through the next couple of years and do good work for the American people before we talk about politics.
The president doesn't mention who will be running for president and who vice president. Ah. Now, everyone assumes it would be you, but Marco Rubio is 13 years old. He's run for president before. Would there be any tension there?
First of all, no, there's not going to be any tension. Marco is my best friend in the administration. He and I work a lot together.
Right.
And we really do, I think, a lot of the good work that we've been able to do as an administration is because we're all able to work together. And again, this is why I say worrying too much about the politics actually, I think, makes you worse at the job that you have. I never want to wake up, and so far I have never woken up and thought to myself, how do I make myself president of the United States? What I wake up and think to myself is, how do I do a good job as vice president? And I think Marco Rubio asked himself, how do I do a good job as secretary of state? And that should be the question that each of us keeps on asking ourselves.
I know that's the question so many at home are asking, whether or not those two are going to pair up to run. We'll see. We'll see. It doesn't sound like a total denial. And so far, they've done a good job. So we'll see how this all turns out. Folks, again, we're going to be taking your calls in just about 2 minutes. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If there's a story that we spoke about and you want to sound off on it, give me a ring. We're going to try to get to everyone as quick as we can. So we got to keep those calls tight. So, folks, give me a ring. All right. Before we could take the callers, though, I wanted to also play this clip 18 for you, because something happened yesterday in Florida, and it was quite the interesting announcement. Governor Ron DeSantis has abolished H-1B visas from being used at state universities. This is what he had announced yesterday. Take a listen.
I am directing today the Florida Board of Governors to pull the plug on the use of these H-1B visas in our universities. We can do it with our residents in Florida or with Americans. And if we can't do it, then, man, we need to really look deeply about what is going on with this situation.
That's something we could all get behind. There's no reason for universities to be using these in the first place. So good on Florida. They seem to lead the way on a lot of these critical issues, and we are all on board for just that. I want to go to clip 19 also, because this is a big one. And, you know, here over at Infowars, we are MAHA lovers. We appreciate MAHA movement. A lover sounds a little weird. We are fans of the MAHA movement. And RFK Jr. is doing an incredible job at HHS Secretary, just trying to crack down and lower prescription drug costs. Take a listen to the new ways he's going about just doing that.
Today, the FDA is taking bold, decisive action to break down these barriers and open the markets for real competition. The agency will release new draft guidance for companies developing biosimilars, guidance that reflects modern science and common sense. Under this new framework, companies may not always need to conduct large, expensive human trials, when advanced testing can already prove that biosimilars work just as effectively and just as safely as the original drug. The FDA will also consolidate several outdated guidance documents into one streamlined rulebook. We're cutting unnecessary red tape, reducing uncertainty, and making it easier for innovators to bring the safe, affordable biosimilars to the market. These changes will also help ensure that more biosimilars are considered interchangeable, allowing pharmacists to substitute them just like they do with traditional generic drugs. The result will be more competition, lower prices, and faster access to life-saving medicines.
We'd love to hear that, of course. It is greatly appreciated when they do just that. All right, let's dive into some phone calls right now because I see our lines blowing up. And I see Jess in Phoenix wants to talk Arctic Frost. So you're the first one up on that. Welcome to the show, Jess.
Awesome, Brianna. Good to be on the phone. Saw you wanted some calls, and I'm surprised I got in. So it's good to be on the first time with you. I had an idea for getting something done for with the whole Arctic Frost situation. Seems like, you know, nothing ever gets done. It just gets tensions and then brushed under the rug or just pushed aside. Never anything done with it. With the recent InfoWars app and how successful it's been, I thought maybe through that app it'd be cool to maybe have like a poll of some sort where everybody could say, should something be done about this or whatever the case be, in order to get something done and have a large number of people that actually participate say, hey, we want something done. We need to see something happen. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I like that. I would actually suggest too some type of like polling exclusively for the app. I'll actually shoot it over to Bigly right after this because I think that's a great idea. I would love to see that. And I think that's a good one to get people interactive. I mean, we're crushing it at the App Store right now. I mean, absolutely crushing it. So we might as well take advantage of just that. So I'm aboard. Thanks for the idea, Jess. I'll give him a ring too and make sure that happens. So thank you for
appreciate
that. Yes, thank you. Paul in Florida, I hear you have a message for President Trump. What can we do for you?
Yes. Hi, Brianna. Thank you for taking the call.
Good to see you.
President Trump, if you're listening, please tune into Alex Jones / InfoWars and Roger Stone. They'll direct you in the right direction. Thank you. Take care. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Paul, from your lips to President Trump's ears, we're all on board for that. Thank you for giving us a ring, of course. I also want to turn to Corey in Missouri. Corey, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? So, yeah, I just want to talk real quick about the technological aspect, like your TSA experience. Basically, we're dealing with technocrats and greedy people who understand technology very well, and they're running social engineering attacks on politicians and nations. So COVID, if you think, COVID, covert identification 19 AI. So you guys are having the guy on the on doing the scanning of the body, you guys are realizing they're emitting MAC addresses, people are. So that was the first wave of the technocratic attack where they figured out how to build AI agents to work for them. Now, wave two is much more intense because there's many people who know how to run these engineering attacks on politicians. So my quick advice is, guys, get off-grid AI, open-source AI, put it on an off-grid computer because they're on purpose making these AIs dumb now. You guys know it. You can see it. They're going downhill. So get some AI models from 400 days ago, open-source, get it offline, and then have that reserved for yourself because they want full AI control over us, and we can decentralize AI.
Yeah, Corey, it's interesting you bring that up, too. When I was meeting with the FBI agents regarding death threats I was receiving, they actually had something called a dirty laptop, and it's like an off-the-grid laptop, too. So I think they would take you up on that, too. I mean, they're doing it themselves. They understand the element to all of that. So good advice, Corey. Thank you for calling. We appreciate your input on that. I want to turn to Wild in Wisconsin because you want to talk about nuclear testing, it sounds like. So welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. Yeah, combined amount of nuclear bomb tests with all countries is like just over 2,000, U.S. being like 1,000 of them. And I think that's one of the main contributors to like the worldwide increase of cancer rates. The last test the U.S. did was 92 Operation Divider, and they did it in Nevada underground. And I still think that contaminates the groundwater in some areas and the soil, and some of the radiation waves get emitted. So I hope with these new tests, they do the outer space style, where we've done before. We've done like four between U.S. and Russia in outer space, because I don't think we need anything else contributing to the increase of cancer rates after the COVID vaccine and that whole saga. But I think they've already started doing the nuclear testing with these UAP UFOs. I think I'm convinced they're new nuclear missile, nuclear bomb delivery devices. And that's why we see them zooming around. And since 92, we have been continuing nuclear testing with the use of like supercomputers, because it was considered more efficient to use the computers, because obviously when you're testing the nuclear bombs, nuclear devices, you have sensors set up, and the sensors get wiped out a lot of the time. So they would do it on a computer simulation, and they'd get a lot better recordings and stuff. And it's very concerning to me that, you know, obviously nuclear proliferation, you know, because like after testing, you know, when you test and make all these weapons, they do have an expiration date. So it makes me concerned that then people might use them, you know, or there could be a nuclear false flag, a bomb detonates, a country's blamed like Iran, and then it's off to the races, you know, once those things get launched. So it's kind of like a concerning thing. I understand why Trump has to do it, though, because, you know, China, for example, their nuclear testing is absolutely insane. You can see videos on YouTube where they'll drop atomic bombs and then like send human soldiers into the explosion just to see how the fallout works. So it kind of has to be done in this sick, violent world we live in, you know, so he's kind of just playing the game. You know, I just hope we, instead of playing the game, we could change the game. So I just wanted to bring that up, that, you know, I think it would be nice for people to lobby to like, hey, how about we do not detonate them in on U.S. soil, maybe find some far off island. But even then, it circulates in the atmosphere. They do it in the water. It circulates in the ocean. You know, I'm convinced, you know, that even like one small particle of those can be harmful for certain people. On another kind of side note, there are people who are immune to the radiation. There was that one nuclear scientist who would go around the U.S. and in front of a crowd eat weapons-grade uranium in front of the crowd, and he was perfectly okay and lived to an old age. But some people are very susceptible, and I just don't think it's a good idea to do nuclear testing in the U.S. I think that's a bad idea now. What do you think?
Yeah, Wild, I'd say you're right on the money when it comes to that, for sure. Absolutely. I agree with you on that. I'm sure he's going to do it the safest way possible. I'm sure that's definitely something that they're focused on as well. We'll see how it all develops, though. And you know, I'm getting access soon. Once the government reopens, I will be one of the independent journalists inside the Pentagon. So, you know, that's a question I will definitely be asking them when we do make our way in, because obviously, I understand the president's move to begin or to resume nuclear testing, but safety obviously is a top concern as well. So thank you for calling in today, Wild. We appreciate your input on that. I want to turn to Steve in Florida. Steve, it sounds like you want to talk about Arctic frost. So welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Arctic frost. This is a message to President Trump in Cash Patel, Government Gangsters book. He talked a good game in the private sector, but it's over and over again, from the crackheads' hard drive, the pay-for-play, the board of Burisma, nothing ever happens. You got the oversight committee. I call it show hearings. Christopher Wray, Merrick Garland going after American families when they expose that stuff that's reading to their children. And all we get is talk. Jack Smith, where are the FBI agents with the machine guns like they did to Roger Stone? But you have the facts on your side. Just like the Russia, a false narrative that the American, hundreds of millions of dollars wasted on a false narrative. They knew it was false because all they care about is their power. And all we get from the Republican leadership is talk. Johnson, Steve Scalise, Ted Cruz, oh, we're outraged. Well, what are you doing about it? The Communist Party, they're throwing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball at your face, and you're up at the plate with a wiffle ball bat. Oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. What are you doing about it? Oh, this is terrible. It's time for orange jumpsuits. And also these FBI agents that went along with this stuff. President Trump, one of your main reasons people voted for you is to hold these people accountable. And if you do not, it will be one of failures.
Yeah.
One of the main failures. And the Comeys of the world, besides the Shells and the other stuff, working with Hildebeest. And when Mr. Comey said, any right prosecutor would not prosecute Hildebeest. Yeah, he forgot to mention his daughter, the prosecutor in New York.
Yeah.
That's how the game is played up in the swamp. They're protecting themselves, just like with the crackhead's hard drive. Cash Patel, release the hard drive today.
Yeah, Steve, well, I understand why you're fired up, and rightfully so. It has been completely infuriating to sit back and watch. And again, we're getting more and more and more proof. Senator Chuck Grassley is the only one doing something about it by putting out the information. And sadly, there's very few follow-up on those who are supposed to be the ones receiving the information and then leading the prosecutions against these individuals. So I'm on board with you
it's
on
all
that.
Talk.
Yeah.
It's all talk. You got another John Boehner type. Or, just John Thune. Pathetic.
Well, Steve, I'll tell you this.
Let me get this in.
I know Chuck Grassley's office is aggressively working to actually get these things prosecuted. They don't have any say in that. So they're doing all this digging themselves. They do want this to be followed through. So they're presenting, and that's the only thing that they can do on his end. So I'll give credit when credit's due. Whenever I've had to reach out, his office has been 100% responsive, and they are advocating for there to be a follow-up with criminal charges and all of this. So he can't file the charges himself. He can't arrest these people. All he could do is gather the information and then push it forward to Pam Bondi's office and other people's offices like the FBI to lead the investigation into that. So he's at least trying, but he's the only one who I see actual movement for. But you're right. You're right to talk about Ted Cruz, obviously, his fake outrage. They didn't have this outrage when it was other Americans being targeted. All of them sat pretty in their seats and just shut up about it. And when we're talking with these nine senators now who are victims, Tommy Tuberville, obviously, he's someone who we've had on the show. He's outspoken on the issue, but again, we don't see much follow through. So, Steve, I want to thank you for calling in. We're all out of time right now, so thank you for all who have called in. We appreciate doing just that. We're getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program, of course, in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We've got methylene red. It is now in stock. We just got this in. I took this, and I'm starting to feel it. So this is something you're going to want to grab, folks. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop so people can get – you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well. Shifting things over very, very soon to our guest. Hunter Gaylor is joining us next. He is a financial expert, and there was a lot of things that happened yesterday that I would love for him to weigh in on. President Trump cutting major deals yesterday with China, and he's cut several deals throughout his trip to Asia, but China was the big one. So I'm going to have Hunter sound off on that. Plus, I'm also going to ask him about the Fed, who cut rates a quarter point yesterday. That's big, big news, especially for someone who's looking to purchase a home. This is good news for you. So Hunter will be joining us in just about 5 minutes. We'll also be talking more in regards to the criminal elements that we can now look at regarding a lot of things that are coming up in Arctic Frost, where DOJ could go with that. I also want to talk about, I want to talk about those who lied to the American people. We didn't lie to you. We told the truth about Joe Biden's health. Those who are the experts behind the scenes, where do they land on this accountability tour? So we'll bring in a great legal expert on that front as well in the third hour of the show. So we're excited to have you here. Very excited to have you here. I'm also going to tell you about how a federal judge just shot down the DOJ's attempt to garner some information through a subpoena. And it's all based on President Trump trying to stop all of these transgender healthcare groups. This is a Biden appointee, of course, who just slapped down the queer doc subpoena that went out from the DOJ. And the reason why he did so is very, very interesting, so we look forward to that. We're also going to talk a little bit more about the AutoPen scandal because, folks, these pardons that were shifted out, they were never supposed to happen. Joe Biden really was not even cognitive at the time. He didn't know what they were doing with the auto pen. So where do we go from here? And it's very, very likely that these individuals were selling pardons. So we'll discuss that too in the third hour. If you haven't done so already, we launched Methylene Red this week. It's a big one. It's going crazy right now over the alexjonesstore.com. If you haven't done so already, grab yourself some Methylene Red. I just took it about an hour ago and I could feel it. More energy, less brain fog. It's an early morning for me. I should take this every single day. In fact, I will. We'll leave it on the desk. Make sure I don't forget this. If you haven't done so already, though, head on over to the store, thealexjonesstore.com. Grab yourself some Methylene Red. You can pair it up with Methylene Blue as well. And we are excited to bring this to you. As many of you guys know, we are MAHA enthusiasts. And so this is just one of the many things that we are bringing to you, our audience, to make sure you could stay in tip-top shape. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab yourself some right now. So a lot happening in the third hour of the show. A lot that we look forward to bringing you, of course. I still can't believe what we reported yesterday about the Biden aide who openly admitted to the committee that he was set to receive a $4 million bonus if he got Biden reelected. No, seriously, this is what's going on. This is all the incentive. Remember they told you that they didn't steal the 2020 election? Well, they had a lot of incentives to do just that. And I wonder how many more people were paid off. I wonder. I want to do some digging into that. I really do. And I'm really fed up with the fact that they don't want us to know about that. They do their very best to suppress that information from coming forward, finding out who else was being paid to push Joe Biden's warm body, nothing else going on up there into the White House again. And here we were, the bunch of the conspiracy theorists that we were, they called us, wondering if they really did steal the 2020 election. I mean, I think that they did. But just asking that question got you called a mean name. They had all the incentives to do just that. And I bet you there's more payouts as well. Folks, we got a lot to talk about in the third hour of the show. Do not go anywhere. Like I mentioned, we have Hunter Gaylor, who's going to be with us, giving us the breakdown regarding the Fed, who just cut rates a quarter point. Can't wait for him to sound off on just that. Don't go anywhere. There's more to discuss.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the country. We've been breaking down the headlines for you on this show, but we're in the third hour of the program. And I told you we had some incredible experts that were going to weigh in on all of the very latest, specifically finance, right? Because we know for a fact that now the Fed is reducing and cutting rates. President Trump has been asking for this for a very long time now, but they just announced another one. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But most importantly, President Trump had a very, very impressive trip to Asia over these last few days. He's been getting some very incredible deals negotiated and finalized. But yesterday he met with the CCP leader. Xi Jinping has apparently agreed to several things. And President Trump highlighting this on his Truth Social account hours ago as he makes his way back to the United States. But a couple of those key points that he was highlighting was that apparently the CCP has agreed to purchase massive amounts of soybeans and other products from U.S. farmers. They've also agreed to continue the flow of rare earth minerals and critical minerals and magnets, which is very important, obviously, as well. Now, also, according to the president, China has strongly stated that they will work diligently and make sure that they help prevent the flow of fentanyl into our country. They will help us end this fentanyl crisis. And according to the president, there is potentially a very large-scale transaction happening very, very soon. And this might concern prices. This might concern a purchase regarding oil and gas being purchased in the great state of Alaska. So a lot of things being finalized from the president's tour. Joining us now to discuss is Hunter Gaylor. He's the founder and managing partner of Spencer Pruitt. He also is a great follow over on X. Give him a follow, Hunter Gaylor. Give him a look. Folks, we're excited to have him on the show today. Hunter, I know you just came back from a trip from China, so this is actually the perfect topic for you, my friend. We wanted to get your input. President Trump announcing some of the details regarding a deal he just apparently got sealed from the CCP leader himself, Xi Jinping. What are some of your thoughts on what's been finalized at this point?
Well, look, first of all, thank you for having me on the program. It's always great to be here and join the war on information because this is a very important thing. I don't think the American people understand how important this is with what's going on in China and U.S.-China relations. As you said, I just got back from a tour over in Asia where I was working with several of the large manufacturing companies, business leaders, government officials, et cetera, on what this is going to look like from a business perspective. And these are critical decisions that are being made, and they need to be made from a competitive standpoint. And, you know, as we look at what's going on in the marketplace, the thing we have to be aware of from China is a labor force. Okay. They have about 220 million able-bodied men that are working, which is about a third of our population when you think about it. The U.S. is only about 350 million population. China's in just able-bodied is about 220. And so the fact that China controls 95% of the rare earth, they're now purchasing and doing land banking all across the world. The United States is not. So this is critical that we learn to work with China. We are two superpowers, and two superpowers met and two superpowers shook hands. And so I like seeing Trump do trade deals. I think this is very important. I think the outcome suggests that the talks succeeded and that it's going to lead to greater opportunities here as a consuming market in the United States, and China is a production hub. I was blown away by some of the technology that I saw in China. I can't understate the fact that America really needs to wake up with the level of engineering and the level of just overall labor force that we have here in the United States. But they are winning the war. I mean, as you see right here, China's the recent article I wrote on LinkedIn that China is winning the resource war. The deal that Trump cut that was very interesting to me was Japan. He met with the Japanese leaders before meeting with Xi Jinping and struck several multi-billion dollar, $500 billion, $50 billion, $100 billion deals with regards to rare earth because we need it. And one of the interesting things that I want the viewing audience to understand is it's not just about buying the rare earth or saying, hey, from an America First policy perspective, why don't we drill here, drill now, mine here, mine now? But it's the entire supply chain that goes into it, right? You can mine all the rare earth you want, but if you don't have the supply chain to be able to smelter it, refine it, purify it, and then put it into the various components that you need, then we're in a losing battle and it's just a matter of time. One of the interesting things that I noted, Brown, and this is very important, is China is an engineering country, if you will. A lot of their leaders come out of engineering backgrounds. Xi Jinping himself, leader Xi, is an engineer. Trump is a businessman. And what I noticed during my time in China from a business perspective is they engineer solutions. And where that is very interesting, and I know this hits home directly with, you know, the family there at InfoWars, America is a very litigious society. We litigate problems, just like what they were doing with InfoWars. They're litigating, litigation, litigation. We're not actually trying to solve problems from an engineering perspective. We just want to go ahead and sue everyone, right? And so this is a very important thing. Trump is cutting deals. He's cutting deals because we need to have a working relationship with China, because if we don't, they will eat our lunch when it comes to manufacturing, because we just do not have the labor pool here. And it's the sad reality, but it is reality nonetheless.
Okay, Hunter, I want to go on the topic of rare earth minerals, because you just cited the deal between the United States and Japan. And I think it's interesting because I think this is a good move where we're pulling our needs for rare earth minerals away from China. Although China is saying that they are going to continue giving it to us. Obviously, this is something that the American people should count as a success, because we're not going to be reliant on China as much if we're getting a good supply from Japan. Weigh in a little bit about that, because the rare earth mineral industry itself is something that we heavily right now rely on China for, given all of the regulations here in the U.S.
Yeah, 100%. And let me even go deeper on that. Forget Japan for a second. We should be cutting deals with everyone. We should be cutting deals with mines in Tanzania. We should be cutting deals with Myanmar. We should be cutting deals with any of the other countries that are mining rare earth minerals. But the fact that we're already striking deals with Japan is a signal that the administration is looking at how to solve the problem, right? And so being able to do that, to take away market share from China, is a good move. But at the same time, I can't underscore the fact that it's good news, but it's still a reaction to a crisis that China created years ago. So we're in a reactionary phase right now. Are we reacting correctly? Is Trump doing the right thing? Yes, we should be cutting these deals. But at the same time, we should also be, you know, onshoring our supply chain and build it out, not just look at outsourcing the purchasing of this, but actually America is so rich in resources. We are so rich in talent. We are so rich in all of these minerals, but we have to cut through the bureaucratic red tape, and we have to have incentives in place for miners and explorers and refineries and these groups to step in and start doing our own production, while at the same time cutting deals with all of these various countries throughout the Indo-Pacific, through Asia, you know, parts of Africa where rare earth is rampant and abundantly available. But we need to be in there just like China is in there. And when I say China's land banking, you know, they're there literally buying cash on the ground for these rare earth minerals. And the United States is where? And that's a big problem. But the fact that we're cutting these deals with Japan, I mean, right, we're saying it's Japan's golden age alliance. I mean, they just lifted bans on ban on defense equipment. They declared it a new golden age alliance with the United States. Together, Washington, Tokyo, they're funding new mining projects. They're creating rapid response teams to move critical minerals when emergencies strike. So these are all signs that point to the importance of creating strong relationships. Because at the end of the day, you know, instead of going to war with all these people, right, we should just be cutting deals with these people, right? I mean, as long as everyone's getting paid and we're able to keep food, you know, on the table for our families, that's what we should be doing, but also strengthening our ties. You know, Trump is a businessman. You keep your enemies, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And so the closer that we create these relationships and get intertwined, I think it's a step in the right direction.
Hunter, I'm going to cast a little bit of pessimism onto all of this because we've talked about before in the show in regards to soybeans. I know China in the past has said they were going to purchase more soybeans from us and they haven't met their end of the bargain in all of this. And they tend to steal our technology secrets as well and send their spies to our country. I mean, there's a long list of things you could poke at here. Is there anything that you're seeing right now that makes you confident that they're actually going to honor their end of this agreement?
No, I mean, nothing makes me confident. I mean, it's all in the evidence of the end result. I mean, I can go, you know, shake hands and say that there's a deal and I can, you know, sign in black and blue ink, right? On the contract doesn't mean I'm going to honor it, right? Mm-hmm. So the proof is always in the pudding. So, I mean, look, we had the Chinese spy balloon. We have, you know, Fang, you know, that whole thing with the congressman or whatever. So yeah, I mean, this is no doubt that they're playing this way. But on the same platitude, I would say from a media perspective and the way that we're witnessing it, you know, there is rights to say we should be concerned, right? We should always have a level of skepticism, but that should be in anything. We shouldn't just say, oh, well, because they said that there's a deal, right? We need to hold them accountable to that deal. It's no different than when, you know, we hold Trump accountable, right? Trump comes in, he says, look, I'm going to end the war in 24 hours and we're still in war, right? Russia and Ukraine are still going on. We have peace talks in Israel. They sign a paper and then bombings happen again, right? So, you know, rhetoric is one thing. Action is another. Results of those actions are even yet another thing. So I am in 100% agreeance. I like to try to be as pessimist or as optimistic as I can. I do have a little, you know, kind of masquerade as a pessimist a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, I try to always look for the good in it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just to help me sleep at night, right? I mean, you know, as to keep my faith in God, you know, I think he's, you know, the best is yet to come in some ways. But I think we still have to be vigilant, right? We can't just say, hold hands and sing kumbaya, Brianna. We have to sit here and say, look, I mean, when the New York Times comes out and they have the headline that says the art of letting Trump claim a win while walking away stronger, that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying, hey, look at all of the evidence we have with soybeans. They said they're going to do it, but they're not doing it. Well, where's the accountability process? What is the spanking that China's going to get for not holding up their end of the bargain, right? And so I really think that we need to be looking deeper into the outcomes of these talks as opposed to, okay, UF tariff, delayed import controls without conceding much in return. I mean, you know, this is analysis, right? Yeah. But the meeting just happened. Let's see where we're at 2 weeks from now, right? And hey, does everyone quickly forget in the 24-hour news cycle, you know, what's going on? And so, look, I like to see the deals with Japan. I think that's smart, especially because of what's going on with Russia and their rare earth. And obviously China and their rare earth, they do control a large majority. So, like I said, I think it's going to come down to us monitoring the situation and we have to hold our leaders accountable and we have to hold their leaders accountable. And at some point, Trump's got to lay the pressure down that if it does not come out the way that we have agreed upon and there is a quote unquote breach of contract from a business perspective, right? Then there needs to be repercussions. What those repercussions are, I think it remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think President Trump's the only one who would actually hold China accountable if they don't meet their end of the bargain. I know the last administration or the regime, whoever was operating things behind the scenes, definitely wouldn't have done just that. So we look forward
to seeing. Well, it's the auto pen. I mean, you know, it's the auto pen. I mean, you look at everything. You cover this on your show all the time. How many of those trade deals that we did with Biden and China was the auto pen? I mean, how many of the deep state and these liberal Democrats that are in Washington that are causing massive economic turmoil with these government shutdowns and all of these other things are affecting how it works for we, the American people. So, you know, from a globalist perspective, I see what's going on, right? I mean, this is a dire fight for, you know, protecting, you know, we, the American you know, idea in the American experiment. But, you know, from America First perspective, you know, Trump can cut deals all he wants. It's going to be what is the result of those deals.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to keep our eye on that because I think that's really important to follow through with it. Hunter, I also wanted to mention something else that happened. The Federal Open Market Committee cut interest rates by 0.25 as anticipated. Now, yesterday, Jerome Powell was speaking about that and elaborated a little bit on that decision. Let's take a listen.
There is no risk-free path for policy as we navigate this tension between our employment and inflation goals. Our framework calls for us to take a balanced approach in promoting both sides of our dual mandate. With downside risks to employment having increased in recent months, the balance of risks has shifted. Accordingly, we judged it appropriate at this meeting to take another step toward a more neutral policy stance.
Okay, do you think that this is really the reason why they decided to cut rates, or do you think it's because President Trump has really been holding their feet to the fire on this issue?
Yeah, I think Trump needs to fire the guy, right? Fire the guy, audit the Fed. I mean, I hate to put those talking points in there, but we haven't had it happen. They need to fire him. Look, the 30-year fixed mortgage rate, it fell to 6.3% for the week ending in October this week, right? And although mortgage rates are now at their lowest level, and they're looking at this for from a home buying perspective, since 2024, the average rate for a 30-year fixed rate is still significantly higher compared to the, you know, minus 3% levels near the start of the pandemic. So, you know, are we moving in the right direction? Yes, inch by inch, centimeter by centimeter. But, you know, still, I think we need massive overhaul within the Fed. Remember, the Fed's always operated as an independent entity, and we always know that that's been a criminal activity since they, you know, the creature from Jekyll Island. Dare we get into that? But, you know, at the end of the day, the problem is here's a guy that you saw, and we talked about this last time, you know, mm-hmm. Trump had to come in and tell him, this is what we need to do. This is why we need to do it. You know, I don't know what, Powell's background is, but I don't see him building skyscrapers and actually understanding how to use interest rates to his advantage, right? Or understand the tax code to his advantage. And so he's making decisions that are affecting the everyday people. Right. Yeah. This is the perfect clip right here. He's like, no, this is how much it is. Trump is showing him and asserting his dominance to say, look, this is based action from Trump. I love it. Yeah. I think he needs to fire him. I mean, look, another little point cut. This is ridiculous. Right. It's good. Don't get me wrong. A cut's a cut. But I mean, can we do more? Yes. Should we do more? Yes. And we're coming into the midterms. So I think we need to even pound this issue even harder. There's no reason interest rates should be this high. Granted, we look at inflation, the printing of money, and obviously we're seeing these circling kind of the wagon with regards to crypto and Bitcoin and what they're talking about now with America holding Bitcoin and what that whole conversation could be about in eliminating the debt. So we are listening to those conversations, but as far as Powell is concerned, I don't like him. I've never liked him. I don't ever think he's been qualified for this position. I don't ever think he's held Trump in high regards, or let alone the constituency and the supporters of Trump. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't like him. You know, yeah, is it a dark historic move with no job data and Trump heckling from abroad? Brianna, I don't like the guy. They need to fire him, and they need to do an overhaul, and they need to bring someone in that understands capital markets. They need to bring someone in that understands they'll work with the administration to at least ease the pain on the American taxpayer.
Yeah, yeah. None of that needs to happen. I know President Trump spoke about it also earlier this week. Jerome Powell's days are numbered. He's got a couple more months left in that position. And I know President Trump looks forward to getting rid of him, but this is costing American taxpayers too much money when he sits here and delays these cuts. It costs us a ton of money that it shouldn't be costing us in the first place. But he's not working for the American people. He's working for the globalists, the big bankers, and all of that. So we'll keep watching, Hunter.
We never voted for him.
I know.
Right? That's why I say, I never once colored in a circle or checked a box that says, here's who I want for the Fed chair. Never once, you know, and that's a big problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why so many people are calling to just abolish the Fed completely, because they've had enough of all of this. That's a whole nother discussion, though, Hunter, a whole nother discussion.
We can get into that.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it as always. Hunter, thank you for joining the show. Well, I always learn something great from Hunter, so we're grateful for that. And I appreciate you jumping on with us today. Folks, we're keeping our eyes on several topics. And I mean, this one is infuriating. You know, President Trump is really trying his very best through executive orders to fight back on the war that these big pharmaceutical companies, mostly the medical fields, who are trying to profit off of going after children. And they say gender dysphoria, that's what they call it. But the reality is they are trying their very best to chop up the reproductive parts of children all around this country. And President Trump is trying to put an end to that. But sadly, a judge just stepped in, and the details behind all of this are pretty disgusting in itself. The DOJ issued a subpoena to this company that does like remote healthcare services, it sounds like, just based on what I've read into. It's called QueerDoc. Again, that just lets you know everything you need to know. And the DOJ tried its very best to subpoena this online transgender healthcare provider. But a judge, of course, Obama, I believe this one's Obama, either Obama or it's Biden, I've seen his name before, a judge just shut down that subpoena. That judge's name is U.S. Judge Jamal Whitehead. Now, he is sitting there and pretty much just saying that they don't have the authority to submit a subpoena, saying it's not tied to a valid law enforcement probe, that subpoena. And so he shut down the DOJ's efforts yesterday to be able to carry through that subpoena. Whitehead stated that the subpoena clearly aims to further President Trump's objective of eliminating services for those with gender dysphoria. It's not a thing. These people are sick. They are preying upon children who just need a little help. They've been brainwashed. They've been absolutely brainwashed, and they're doing their very best to go out there and to prey upon these children, to brainwash them, to thinking that they actually need this. So it's just so enraging. Oh, folks, I wanted to point your attention to this too. I don't know if you guys saw, make sure you follow Alex on X. If you don't though, I don't know why you don't, but make sure you do so. On his X account yesterday, he was asking you all to reply with a local design for the new Alex Jones Network and AJN Live. So if you haven't done so already, make sure you head on over to his Twitter page and drop a comment. Because he's looking for your input in all of this. I know one of my friends actually gave him the idea, and it's on the tweet as I was scrolling through. It kind of looks like a CNN logo, and I know that's what he was going for here. So if you haven't done so already, make sure you do just that. Head on over to Alex Jones's Twitter page and drop whatever you think might be a great logo in the replies. We look forward to seeing what you guys are working on. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over as well. The AlexJonesStore.com. If you haven't done that already, we just got methylene red this week, and I have taken my methylene red this morning. And, I'm not having so much brain fog these days. So if you haven't done so already, snag some as well over at the shop, TheAlexJonesStore.com. While supplies last, we've got it up and running. It's great to pair with methylene blue as well. And it's quite tasty. This is now a sour strawberry flavored brand of this. So head on over to the shop. Again, folks, if you're someone who's looking to get rid of your brain fog, these two together are going to do you wonders. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. And if you haven't done so already, I don't know what you're waiting on, but we launched last week the Android version of the new app. So make sure you download that as well, thealexjonesapp.com. It's actually alexjonesapp.com. No the there. I keep doing that. Don't let me lie to you. It's the app. It's AlexJonesApp.com. One day I'll get it together. One day. Don't listen to me though. Watch what you see on your screen there. Head on over, download the app, and you can do it both for Android and Apple. That's the good news. All right, we got a lot more heading your way. We're going to bring in our legal expert to ask a lot of questions regarding both the information we're learning from the Arctic Frost document dump, a lot there. Plus Joe Biden's doctors. They lied to the American people and pretend like he was A-okay and no issues there. But now we've got more proof that they were lying this whole time. So what can be done from a legal standpoint? We're going to ask just that. I'm also going to be asking about, the individual who was supposed to receive a $4 million bonus if he was able to get Biden reelected. So a lot happening in the next portion of the show. Don't go anywhere.
What out there could have an effect like methylene blue and synergistically work with it to boost it and supercharge it? So I got with Bigley. They've been making supplements long before I got with them. And I got with Chase, who's really smart. And I said, I want you to go to a couple of different formulators and ask them what you think's the best. Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an ultramethylene blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the methylene blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. And it works with methylene blue. And it works without it. And unlike ultramethylene blue that you can't take if you're on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or certain other medications, nothing in this has any of those counterindications, but still consult your physician. But when you take it with ultramethylene blue, it just does synergistic things that are amazing. I mean, I had this idea like a month into methylene blue exploding. I said, we got to come out with something that's complementary or even better. This is the research from that. You can buy three bottles, get 25% off. Buy two bottles, get 20% off. Buy one bottle, get 15% off. And when you subscribe and you cancel any time, it locks it in at 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this. So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. So I'm incredibly proud. And so we put this together as both the methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. It's got 5 grams of TMG, a methyl donor juggernaut that recycles homocysteine, fueling DNA repair and detoxifying your brain. It's got acetyl L-carnitine in it. It's a brain-penetrating carnitine that floods your mitochondria with ATP, which is basically energy and reverses cognitive aging. It's got uridine monophosphate in it, the synaptogenesis rocket fuel that grows new dendritic spines and locks in razor-sharp memory, and just so much more. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge, huge product that we've sold in different forms in the past. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed: migraine prevention, cardiovascular health, antioxidant, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis, and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
So that's what you're getting with us, Ultramethylene Red. Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take, and it's common sense to want to sell somebody something that really works. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Final lap of the third hour. Excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on all around the world. A lot of corruption being exposed. We're excited that you're all joining us today. Man, we've been talking about this Art of Frost stuff. More documents have been dropped. We're talking like hundreds and hundreds. Chuck Grassley's office yesterday released over 1,700 pages. You heard that, right? It's all subpoenas. It's all the people that they were targeting. The list just goes on. It's actually quite the interesting list. The Biden regime's DOJ issued about 197 subpoenas, and they targeted about 430 Republicans, as well as entities, as well as individuals as well. And everyone's really upset about this. They're really, really upset about this. Obviously, rightfully so. This shouldn't have happened in the first place. But again, this happened under Barack Obama, and nothing happened when he went after and targeted journalists, when they went after the Tea Party. No one cared enough to actually do something to hold them accountable. So, of course, the issue got worse, and now we're
starting to understand a little bit of that. Groups that were targeted in Arctic Frost, the RNC, the Conservative Partnership Institute, Save America PAC, America First Policy, America First as well, and MyPillow. Now, what the heck did they want from Mike Lindell? Oh, they probably didn't like the fact that Mike was holding election fraud summits. That probably really ticked them off. And it's crazy because America First Legal is also in all of this. And interesting enough, they weren't around on January 6, 2021. So what the heck was the Biden regime looking for? Probably trying to go after Stephen Miller, so that's his group. And they don't like the fact that he was legally challenging them on so much and trying to hold them accountable. Now, Senator Ted Cruz is fired up on the issue, and he's not happy because obviously Judge Boasberg went after him specifically, allowing and hiding the fact that the DOJ was trying to subpoena his personal records, his phone records. Take a listen to clip 25, because now, of course, he's calling for the impeachment of that judge.
I am right now calling on the House of Representatives to impeach Judge Boasberg. Judge Boasberg put his robe down, stood up and said, sign me up to be part of the partisan vendetta against 20% of the Republicans in the Senate. That is a dereliction of duty and a violation of the judicial oath. And I want to thank Chairman Grassley and Chairman Johnson for pursuing this tenaciously like a dog on a bone. We are going to get the answers of every person who signed off on this abuse of power. And mark my words, there will be accountability for these zealots who wanted to corrupt the Department of Justice and corrupt the judiciary in order to try to attack their enemies list.
Those are some strongly worded threats. We'll see if they actually do hold these individuals accountable. Joining me to discuss is Robert Govea. He is a criminal defense attorney. He hosts a great show. It's called Spotlight of Justice. It's available on Rumble at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So head on over to his Rumble page and give him a follow as well. Robert joins us to help understand this plus more. So it's an honor to have you on the show. Robert, and congratulations. I see you just got a brand new ring. You had a wedding recently, and it's an honor to have you on the show today. So congratulations, my friend. That was very exciting news to see on X.
Thank you very much, Brianna. Very nice to be with you. And thank you for the love. We're very excited about it. And this document drop was a very nice wedding gift because it was very enjoyable to go through all of this because we've known about a lot of the corruption for a long time, but now we get to see it in writing. And I've not seen the senators as upset as they've been recently. And I think rightfully so. I mean, Ted Cruz, as he was explaining, was one of the guys who was attempted to be spied on. There were eight senators total who had their documents basically subpoenaed by Jack Smith and his group of criminals, in my opinion. And they're very unhappy about it, and rightfully so. And what you mentioned, which was this huge tranche of documents, 197 subpoenas, 400 plus Republicans, is really just, I think, the tip of the iceberg, because we also had yesterday another major drop from the House Judiciary Committee. So we've got these two separate committees that are just dropping these documents out everywhere. And we also see, in addition to what Jack Smith, what these Arctic Frost FBI agents were doing, and Arctic Frost, for a little background, was the original FBI investigation into President Trump. And it was concocted by very anti-Trump FBI agents, including one guy called Timothy Tebow that we've heard a lot about, who had just posted very anti-Trump messages on Facebook, got in trouble with the Hatch Act for getting involved in politics. And it was a huge, huge scandal. And then as soon as Jack Smith got appointed, they handed him all these documents. And remember, Jack was supposed to be this individual who was independent and a special counsel and separated out from the Biden DOJ so that there was some modicum of independence and, you know, impartiality in the investigation. And it turns out it wasn't. He didn't really do anything. He just inherited this case from the FBI and then took it and ran with it. And there was a massive dragnet over huge portions of the Republican Party. But that's only one half of the coin, because the House Judiciary Committee also dropped some other documents yesterday that are showing very, very clear collusion between Jack Smith and the January 6th Select Committee, which, as many people know, is illegally constituted. If you look at their own House rules, H.R. 503, they had to have many more members on that committee, five of whom were, which should have been appointed by the Republicans. and they never were. And so this 197 subpoenas, which we saw from Grassley, was over 1,700 pages yesterday. Just massive amounts of energy, massive amounts of money, all going in. But in conjunction with that, we also had the January 6th committee that was also, if we recall, sending letters out. Benny Thompson, Liz Cheney, sending letters to everybody demanding information on the power of Congress. Okay, so kind of a separate entity. One is taking place in the judiciary, which is getting rubber stamped by partisan judges like Judge James Boasberg. And then simultaneously, Jack is also in the documents receiving on a rolling basis disclosure from the January 6th committee. And the whole, what's so sick about that is that there was no judicial oversight over what Congress was doing. They just formed this committee. They sent a bunch of subpoenas out. And then guys like Steve Bannon or Peter Navarro, who were objecting to that, saying we've got executive privilege, they were put in prison. They were arrested and locked up for this. But the sickness of it is that they were handing everything over to Jack and basically giving him materials that he couldn't get on his own. And so I think the rabbit hole on this just is going to go deeper and deeper as more of these documents come out. And we all knew this when we were covering the cases and the prosecutions, asking ourselves, where did Jack Smith get these materials? And turns out it was being hand delivered by the January 6th Select Committee. So the senators are furious about it, rightfully so. They got spied on. And as you mentioned, there was this dragnet to go after and just basically take out the Republican Party because they hated President Trump. And so it was very exciting to see the senators, you know, come together and demand more hearings, demand impeachments. And even Lindsey Graham was out yesterday talking about how people should be in jail. So there's a lot going on there. And we're happy to see some developments in this one particular case that has been kind of under the radar for a long time.
Yeah, and Robert, I kind of want to feed back a little bit on that, too, in regards to how they were obtaining records. You know, we saw our own Alex Jones's name pop up in these document dumps that came out earlier this week. And it's quite strange. When you look at the line, it comes from, according to this document, and we don't know much in this front, so I want to just make that very clear. We don't know exactly what was sent over, but there seems to be an attorney who has been heavily involved in going after InfoWars with the civil lawsuit and other individuals here at InfoWars as well. His name appears and it looks to like an RE's there. So it looks like it's a forwarded or a responded email. It says Alex Jones cell phone. Now, just some background, because again, I'm reaching out to sources to see what specifically this is so you could give our audience some context here. We don't know yet, but we have people who are going to be digging up into all this for us. So we're thankful for that. But I want to highlight the fact that they tried to gain access to Alex Jones' cell phone records, and they tried to challenge that, and Alex fought back, and he won in court. So if this is, in fact, his cell phone records, which were shot down originally, this is deeply concerning, especially because Alex has sources he's talking to, and he wants to protect those sources, and he wouldn't want the government anywhere near his cell phone records as a journalist, as someone who's constantly speaking to individuals. So that's concerning in itself. And then we also see that America First Legal was a part of all of this as well. They were being targeted as well. But the interesting part here, and I kind of want to hear maybe your perspective as to what this might be about. America First Legal, which is ran by Stephen Miller. I don't know if he's actually running the show anymore now that he's over at the White House, but he started America First Legal, but it wasn't around on January 6, 2021. So now they're going after their records and they're trying to get them wrapped up into all of this. We have to wonder, why would they go after America First Legal when it was never even a thing at the time of January 6, 2021? So what can we all speculate about all of that?
Well, I think it is a very organized attempt to take out the most effective people on our side of the aisle. They went after lawyers. Remember, they went after doctors. There was an entire project called the 65 Project that if you were advocating on behalf of Trump or questioning the 2020 litigation, they wanted to take your law licenses away. I mean, they wanted to just sideline everybody. And even in the documents yesterday, Alex Jones's name pops up. There was a subpoena that went out to Event Strategies, which was another organization. And in that subpoena, they're saying, did you guys talk to this big, long list of people? Everybody's on there, Roger Stone, a bunch of people. And of course, Alex Jones is in there. So from our perspective, they were trying to just follow a trail, right? Follow a path. And if they could go into Event Strategies and somebody would have texted Alex or somebody, it would have been some communication there, then boom, that opens the door. And they've got cause now to say, well, let's go find out more about Alex Jones and Stephen Miller and everybody else who was a threat to them. And it, I think, was top to bottom. And it was a full infrastructure attack to go after everybody. I mean, if anybody who was effective in nonprofits, politicians, as we can see, were not even immune from this. They went after 8 senators and a House representative, as far as we know. And I think the list is probably much longer than that. And it was just a free for all. The analogy we use is kind of like a Black Friday sale at a Walmart when everybody's running out with TVs. They all thought that they could get away with it. And they may have, right, if the election would have gone differently. But it was an attempt to sideline the most effective people. And you have to think about the opportunity cost on this as well. I mean, we have an election coming up, and Trump now had to defend himself, as did many of his deputies and closest allies, in many criminal cases all across the country. We had people like Jeffrey Clark and others who had to defend against attacks on their law license. They still have to defend that right now just because they were representing their client in the court of law, not doing anything illegal. We've had alternate electors many times in American history, and they were just pursuing that claim. And senators have an obligation, really, to investigate those claims because they're going to be the ones who are going to certify the election in Congress. And so they were just so petrified that they were rigging all of the institutions, the DOJ, the FBI, the White House. I mean, from the top, Merrick Garland knew that Jack Smith was not lawfully appointed. We played a clip yesterday of this where he said, I know he was never appointed by the president. He was never confirmed by the Senate. But Jack Smith inherited the Arctic Frost investigation and went hog wild. I mean, you can just see it in the amount of legal work that we have right now. Just gobs of attorneys and millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars were spent to take out Trump, to take out Bannon, to take out all of the 19 co-defendants in the Fannie Willis RICO case that happened in Georgia. And those people, if they're defending themselves in a court of law, if they're hiring lawyers, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, then that money is not being effective in the campaign, right? Trump had to go sit in Alvin Bragg's courtroom for weeks in the middle of a campaign and spend millions of dollars to defend himself. All of that is an opportunity cost that he couldn't invest in campaigning, or that his allies couldn't focus on, you know, the next round, the next election, because they're too busy trying to keep themselves out of jail because they're being prosecuted by hack partisan individuals like Timothy Tebow, Jack Smith, and his whole entourage of people. Like this guy, Jay Bratt, who was on Jack Smith's team, was trying to encourage a defendant to flip by promising his attorney a judgeship position. Like, you know, hey, Stanley Woodward, if your client flips on Trump, we'll elevate you to a judge. And just using all sorts of extremely unethical behaviors to take out their opponents, because from their perspective, as long as they could get out the door with this and get Kamala or Biden reelected, they'd be off scot-free. And it was a long, long game attack. Fortunately, they failed, and now we're getting to see just how deep it was and how many people were in the orbit, but ultimately, you know, maybe didn't get charged, but they were certainly under investigation.
Yeah, and they went after everyone. I mean, the attorneys that were involved in a lot of these cases, they went after them, people who were working for the attorneys. We saw Bernard Carrick's name get dropped, and he was working with Giuliani at the time as well, challenging the elections legally. So we know that they were going after everyone. And, you know, you mentioned Fulton County, too. I want to remind our audience that we have the logs that prove that the prosecutors in Fulton County who were going after the presidents, Fannie Willis and her boyfriend, there was meetings at the White House, with the Biden White House. And so this was all well orchestrated. And I'm sure, and I would love to find out who was in on those meetings, because again, although they claim that this was all separate, it's very, very clear that these were all individuals working together based on the evidence that we've seen this far. And so I think it's interesting to follow through and to see what was actually happening when these individuals were making their way into the White House. And also, if you live in Georgia and you're a taxpayer, Nathan Wade did bill you for those visits as well. So this is something that should be concerning for all involved. I want to shift gears a little bit, though, to clip 26, because Dr. O'Connor is the individual who was representing or was Joe Biden's doctor. And he's being called into question here because obviously he was lying to the American people. To say he's misleading is being very nice. And I see that the media is saying that he was misleading the American people. No, he's lying to the American people, in my opinion, because there's no way that all of a sudden Joe Biden randomly got prostate cancer and they just discovered this just days after leaving the White House. This is something that's been ongoing, it looks, in my opinion, to be. And there needs to be something that happens here. So I want to play clip 26 because this is what he was telling the committees during his interview. Take a listen.
Dr. O'Connor, were you ever told to lie about the president's health?
On the advice of counsel, I must respectfully decline to answer based upon physician-patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. I am not a lawyer. I must follow my lawyer's advice in this matter.
Let the record reflect that Dr. O'Connor has invoked the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Dr. O'Connor, please be very clear. Are you declining to answer the question put to you solely on the ground that you believe the answer will incriminate you?
On the advice of counsel, I must respectfully decline to answer based upon the physician's patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Okay, so obviously he's doing this because there's something to cover up here. I mean, that's what I could insinuate. I could assume at this point now that he's refusing to speak up. As an attorney, is it fair to say that he might be covering up something or might be in fear of something coming out? Because I see that now there's a push by Congressman James Comer to potentially have his medical license revoked.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of indicia that they're not being honest with us. Now, I'm a defense attorney, and I very much appreciate the right to remain silent, and you invoke those when you don't want to incriminate yourself. But these are pretty basic questions. I don't know why he couldn't have just said, no, of course not. Nobody told me to lie. It's obvious nobody would ask the doctor of the president to lie about the president's condition. And so when he comes out and he's so coy about this and they're not forthcoming, I mean, these people are having to be dragged into Congress to just explain what they did while they were operating at the White House. And they're supposed to be public servants. You know, they're not gang members who are under, you know, investigation, who have to arm up because they committed a bunch of crimes that they know they committed. And so they invoke the right to remain silent to protect themselves. But these are public servants. And these are pretty basic questions about whether you were asked to lie by Jill Biden or Anthony Bernal or any of these people. And they just can't be open and forthcoming about it. And there were many other clips that were also outstanding. I mean, there was another guy, Ken Donilon, who was the senior advisor to Joe Biden's political campaign. And we start to ask ourselves about, are there any other factors that might cause them to suddenly forget or to want to be so quiet about this? But this was a senior advisor. He got paid $4 million to come on to the Biden campaign. And they said they gave him a contingency bonus, basically. If Joe Biden were to win the election, he'd get another $4 million. So there's 4 million reasons why they suddenly forget things and why they suddenly are arming
were there
up
any circumstances in
invoking their right to remain silent when they're public servants, and they should just be out being open and forthcoming. And if they did nothing wrong, of course, be transparent about that. But for whatever reason, there's a pattern that just continues on, and that's the guy right there. And they don't want to answer any questions about it for whatever reason. I think we know the reason is because they were implicit and involved in the cover-up. And Ian Sams was the other guy. We remember him all over the place. Mm-hmm. The guy with glasses and bald. He was the White House spokesman, and he was out every day. It was annoying to listen to this guy constantly saying, Joe Biden's amazing. He's doing backflips and he can do multiplication tables and all the things. You're going, come on, man. We can all see it. He came out, and in his interview, he said he met with Joe a handful of times. And one of those times was a Zoom meeting, I think. He's like, no, I was in the meeting on the Zoom call. And you go, come on, man. You're not interfacing with this person. So don't come out and sell us a bill of goods that is just not true, and we can all see it on its face. But if there's financial incentives, if there's licensing incentives, then you can understand why they are hardening up and putting up this force field against any oversight, any questions when they were running the White House. It's a pretty sick state of affairs. We're just trying to get answers on who is running the country, and the people who allegedly are public servants won't help out with that at all.
Yeah, well, I think it highlights that there's a massive cover-up here, and it's probably in regards to who was utilizing the auto pen. I'm going to play clip 28 for you, because when they were grilled on this, all of them were dodging the bullet of answering this question. Take a listen.
Do you know who the people who were actually operated the auto pen were?
I do not.
Do you know any of the actual staff who were using the auto pen?
No.
You don't know their names?
No.
Have you never seen a decision memo laying out the breakdown of when the president should hand sign a particular set of documents?
Not prior to prep.
Did he hand sign all executive orders?
He did not. He hand signed many executive orders, but he did not hand sign all executive orders.
Can you read your response?
I approve the use of the auto pen for the execution of all the following pardons. Thanks, Jay-Z.
Did you yourself write this email?
I do not believe I did.
All right. So it's interesting to hear their perspective on all of this. As an attorney, are any of these pardons going to hold up if it's proven that AutoPAN was used without President or so-called President Joe Biden's authority?
I don't think they should unless there is a very clear chain of custody that shows that the power came from Joe Biden and the approval was then passed down to authorize the use of the AutoPAN. This is called chain of custody. And in criminal law, we're talking about criminal pardons here. It's a very important concept. And if you don't have good chain of custody, your whole case essentially gets dismissed. And one example on this is a DUI case, right? People get DUIs all the time. They are arrested. They have a sample of blood drawn from their bodies. And when that sample is transported and impounded and withdrawn for testing, they document where it went. It goes from officer A to B to C to D to E. Then the lab tech gets it and then tests it, marks it up, and puts it back in. So you can follow the bouncing ball and exactly where the item was. And the same concept should apply to Joe Biden's pardon power. And what we have seen thus far is that it did not happen. Apparently, everybody was just kind of sending emails. And we saw Jeff Zients, and this has happened also with James Clapper, is they'll use their assistants to send the approval emails. And then everybody's just talking about in abstract terms about approval. But nobody can tie it directly back to Joe Biden's authority. And if that can't be done, then my argument would be just like in a DUI case or just like any other criminal case, the results should be dismissed. They shouldn't be considered because they're not validated. You can't tie it back to the root power. And in these cases, I think that it is up to the people who are claiming they have these AutoPAN pardons, and there's a bunch of them. It's the J6 committee, some of Joe Biden's family, Fauci, I think, is on that list. They can be the ones who argue that they're actually valid. And remember, we saw a lot of this. Trump, when he was prosecuted, many of us made the argument, he's got presidential immunity. You can't prosecute him. Literally, you can't. The Constitution gives him powers to do certain things. He did the certain things. And they didn't care. Yeah. They made him go to court. They prosecuted him four times. They made him be dragged in there and file the motions, actually take the case all the way up to the Supreme Court to argue that he did have presidential immunity. And they ultimately found that, right? They came back down and said, yep, you've got immunity. And so Chutkan had to dismiss her case. Jack Smith's case also went away. So if we have this requirement that the president has to appear in court and defend himself, I think that same pattern and practice should be applicable to these people with pardons.
Yeah.
They can come into court. You charge them with the crimes that they committed, that the pardons were meant to cover up. And if they want to make the argument that they're valid, they can go into court and do what Trump did and present evidence that there is a valid chain of custody that connects their fake AutoPAN pardon back to Joe Biden. Elsewise, it's not valid, in my opinion, and the trial should proceed forward, and we should see what a jury says about it with the facts of the case.
1,000%, Robert. We look forward to doing that. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your time, as always, and all of your insight. We are grateful for that. So thank you, Robert, for being here.
Thank you, Brianna.
Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Red is up for sale right this second. Alex Jones is up next on the Alex Jones Store Show. Don't go anywhere.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
I have shared the methylene blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart it removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the methylene blue, stopped the bleeding, alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it. Now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's crazy. I love how everybody in the Infowars audience just buys methylene blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? You talk about the wart. Other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
One more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is, you know, I can go, I don't have to,
have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market like Methyl Drive and Power Plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the biggest, some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is I've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley.
Again, thank you so much. Check out the AlexJonesStore.com today, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.